Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 8 of How to Dean Clifford. I'm Tony Boutros, your host. Today is Monday, January 7th, 2013. Have to get used to saying 2013 from now on. Happy New Year's to everybody. Hope 2013 will be full of prosperity, good health, and happiness to all. I'm sure that a lot of people learning the stuff that Dean is teaching are going to become happier as they become more informed and more empowered. So a couple of announcements before we get started with our show today, which the topic is detaxation, which I believe is going to be a huge popular one. As I see right now, the chat room is already filling up with people. So a few announcements. Remember that if you wish to ask your questions to Dean, please make them short and precise, right to the point, especially the ones that you're emailing in, because otherwise it's going to take me forever to read them on the air. Only send in questions that you wish to have answered on the air. Private questions will not be handled. We made that clear on our last show. If you'd like to ask questions live on the air, it's probably the best way and the quickest way to get them answered. You can do so by calling 646-478-5728, and I already put that on the chat room. You can make that call completely free by using the Skype feature, which you can find on our episode page. Directly to the right of the caller number, you'll see a Skype icon. You click on that, follow the screen prompts, and it will be a Skype-to-Skype call. It will cost you absolutely nothing. If you want to help us out to get the rankings high on Blog Talk Radio, you can do so by clicking the follow button on our episode page or on our profile page. Either one's fine. You click the follow button, that will do two things: give us higher rankings as well as make it easier for you to be notified of future episodes we're going to be hosting on our shows. Also, when you log in, I see a lot of guests on here. Guests unfortunately cannot participate in the chat. You have to be signed in to contribute or to say anything in the chat room. Now, you don't have to create a new account with Blog Talk Radio. You can simply log in using either your Skype, using either your Facebook or your Twitter accounts. That's also beneficial for us because when you do that, Blog Talk Radio will automatically create an automatic status on your Facebook page and tells people that you're on the show, which helps gives us exposure as well. And if you want to ask questions on the chat room, you can do that. Please make it in red, bold letters so that way I can easily find it amongst the rest of the comments that are going to be put on there. So red, bold letters for questions and only for questions. Do not use red, bold text for chatting. So once again, I want to welcome you all to episode 8. And Dean, are you there?
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
I'm doing great, thank you. So we have a very hot topic today. I got a lot of questions emailed to me about it, and from the numbers that I can see already in the chat room, 45 and climbing, I have a feeling that a lot of people are interested in this specific topic, which is how to detax or how to not to pay taxes. What's your take on that?
Well, people used to, again, when people used to bring this topic up with me more recently when it started to get a little bit more mainstream, and I'd be approached at some of my suppliers by guys working in the back shop, and they'd say, hey, do you know that you don't have to pay income taxes? My reply was always, well, actually, once you fill out a return, you do have to pay income taxes. So the actual way to cease having to pay is to cease filing. And so we're going to probably talk about that for a little bit today, and this is all going to tie into, I think, a little bit what we did with the show last time there, where I was kind of asking people which way they want to go, and if they feel that just getting out of the system altogether is the only way to go, or staying in the system and controlling a person is the way to go, or whether or not there's a middle road. I really wanted to hear what people had to say about that, and I got a lot of feedback, because now I'm going to present what I call the third option, which is the more realistic one and the real one. And it has a lot to do with the taxpayer and income tax filings, because again, this all ties in together. It's the same scam. Every single dealing you have with the government, it's the same scam. None of this is case specific. It's not specific just to income taxes or a driver's license. It's the same thing. And it's not case specific to the actual individual problem. like somebody has different facts in their case that pose a different kind of problem. No, it's all the same thing, right? So we're going to cover that, I think. And I just had a long chat, actually, with a few people last night about this, interestingly enough, and I'm sure some of them are listening here tonight. Interestingly enough, I ended up getting to speak to Wally Dove on the phone. And I think talked about him and an episode or two ago about the approach that some people are taking now, where they have just gone ahead and to get out of income tax alleged income tax obligations. They've taken the stance now that they can just go and make the argument that they waive the right to be recognized as a person in law. And absolutely, that is one way to do it. And we spoke about that actually last night. And at the end, I agreed. I got him to understand where I was going with it, and then I agreed with him that especially for beginners, until you understand what's going on, this is probably one of the better approaches that you could take, because it's the most simple argument you can make. And the so maybe we'll start with that. That's the defense that you don't consent to be recognized as a legal person. And I told you last time the problem with that poses is that it leaves your person open to legal plunder, because now there's nobody defending it. Right? Why didn't that stay paused? Oh, there we go. So, but it is a great way for especially beginners to get into this, because that was one of the other things I wanted to talk about last night with the two people I was talking to. I asked them, I said, look, like when I'm talking, how out to lunch do I sound sometimes? Because I don't even understand maybe sometimes if I'm actually speaking, if the things I'm talking about are actually so out to left field from what people are used to that they just don't even really follow what I'm saying. So I usually like some feedback on that as well. Because we're not really being productive here. People just don't even understand the stance that we're coming from when it comes to this.
Well, actually, I can vouch for that, because when I first started listening to you, when we started these shows, you and I was kind of more the thinking of the old school, which is to get out of the system as soon as you can. That is the best way to go. But when I heard you talk about the disadvantages of doing that, I kind of got confused at the beginning.
That's exactly it. Right? So I think that's where the learning process is going to have to cut, where I think it's going to have to be incremental. Again, I don't want to have people come in and learn that 1 + 1 = 2, and then, you know, next thing you know is you throw them down a non-constant velocity curve equation. Right? We can't do that. It's got to be kind of graduated, because it's not that the concepts are complicated, but you have to grasp them first in stages to be able to. And actually, I was thinking about this before the show tonight. I was like, how am I going to explain this to people properly? And that actually is what I've been doing for the last couple of years. I think that's made people want to listen to me. I'm always trying to put things in terms that they will understand instead of trying to use judge's language, which come across and be really impressive with big words. And I always hear people refer to, you know, like the think outside the box, you know, like that, I hate that comment so much. So, you got to think outside the box. But the problem really is that your mind is actually in a prison, and that's why I wanted to hear what people had to say about either A, leaving the system, or B, staying in it. Like, those are the only two options that one of the last talks we had there. Because it helps to prove that that people's minds are actually in such a prison that they really think it's an either or. There is no middle ground. Like, there's only two options in life, leaving a system or staying in it. Because they don't understand that this is like working at Tim Hortons and not realizing that your job at Tim Hortons is only one very small part of your life. It's like leaving the system altogether or never leaving the system and learning how to operate inside it is the same as saying, well, I work at Tim Hortons, so either I never leave Tim Hortons and I never stop working my shift and I'm never not an employee of Tim Hortons, or I quit and I go my own way and do my own thing. Well, and what I want people to start to understand, and maybe this is what we're going to start to teach people, is that that's not the way this all works. That's the prison your mind is in, because you start to realize, well, wait a minute, my job at Tim Hortons is just one small part of my life. Tim Hortons only applies when I'm at Tim Hortons, when I'm working, when I'm on duty. Then when I leave Tim Hortons, it's none of Tim Hortons' business what I do with the rest of my life. That's all private. I can go do anything I want when I'm not on Tim Hortons' time. And you have to be able to start to distinguish yourself from the person in that way. The person is a small part of you. it's a very small part of you. It's like an investment, right? It's like a small part of you was taken and was put somewhere as an investment, right? And this goes right along with the whole as above, so below mentality that all the people that are into conspiracies and want to talk about the Illuminati or the Freemasons and, you know, all this stuff is all about so as above, so below. Well, that's absolutely true because that's all that's going on here right now, right? When people that want to get very biblical about things make the statement with regards to as above, so below, it's understood by religious people that each one of us makes up a part of God. So I make up a part of God, but God is all of me. He makes up all of me, but I only make up a small part of Him. So now we transfer that down to what's going on here on Earth with what man has done. The person, the juridical person, the legal version of you, is a small part of you, but you are all of it. It's the same thing. They're just mimicking the rules of the universe, natural law, if you want to call it that. So once you start to distinguish that the person is actually just a small part of you, you're going to realize that it's not just as cut and dry as, well, I'm either this person or I'm not. No, it's just a small part of you. That's all it is. It's a very small part of you. You are much more than what the person is. But you are all of the person because it's entire. Everything that makes up that person is you. But it's only a very small part of you, like a hair on your head. So if somebody plucked a hair out of my head and say, hey, is this your hair? And I say, oh, yeah, you just pulled that out of my head. That's my hair. Does that mean that's all you are? I'm just a piece of hair? No, it's a part of the bigger whole. So you have to start thinking about it that way now. Okay, so it's not cut and dry as, well, I'm leaving because I don't want to be associated with the person anymore. Well, unfortunately, the person is a part of you. And it's an investment. So as soon as people start to realize and start to treat the person like an investment portfolio, it's something you only pull out and have a look at when you want to see how your investment is doing, instead of you never leaving that investment portfolio, like that's your entire life. There's nothing else. You exist for no other reason other than being in that little investment portfolio. And you get tired of that and say, well, I don't want to be here anymore, so I'm just going to leave altogether because there's no middle ground. No, that's absolutely not true. And that's what taking control of our life. Get out of that mind prison that's all there is in life. That's the first step. Like, and this is the problem, is like people keep thinking I'm going to be able to give them some kind of a document they fill out that's going to take care of all this for them, when really what it comes down to is once you understand these concepts, you don't need any of that kind of shit no more, right? You can actually just go in and you can argue things, viva voce, just the living word, no more documents being filed into the courts, nothing. You can just go in there and you can't be bullshitted. You cannot be bullshitted because you understand what's going on. And that's the biggest problem. So that's where we're going to start with that. So for the beginners who haven't been able to put that little partition in their mind off to the side yet and say, okay, the person is just a small part of me, but I'm not dealing with that right now. I'm the whole me out and about right now conducting my own private matters, right? So it's got nothing to, so we're not dealing in that little land right now, but government wants you to think. And this is the thing, right? So now transfer Tim Hortons to Canada. Canada wants you to believe that everything is Canada. Just like, say, if you were an employee at Tim Hortons, and Tim Hortons wanted to convince you that nothing that you ever did in life was outside of Tim Hortons because everything is Tim Hortons. Like it's the movie Demolition Man or something, right? Well, Taco Bell won the restaurant war, so now everything is Taco Bell. They want you to think that everything is the government. No, it's not. That's a very small aspect of your life, and only when dealing with the person. And the only reason you had to deal with the person, and that's something else we can get into, is the opposite of what's going on right now with the income tax filing system. Now, and I'm sure I can talk about this, because this leads into the next part here, that, like, for instance, say, filing income tax returns. Somebody that I know in BC right now that is in court, and she's probably listening tonight, is basically at this point stymieing them presently on the simple argument that they can't even prove that she's a resident. One simple question: what evidence or facts are they relying on to prove that I'm a resident? And the only thing they could come back with was the income tax filing. That's it. It was the only thing they could come back and say is that the main document they're going to be relying on was the income tax filing. The only problem was she was smart enough years ago that when she did the filing, she didn't sign it. Why didn't sign it? And that's probably one of the reasons they're moving very cautiously right now with this individual. They're trying to build a case by hoping she doesn't rebut all the proper stuff, and they can operate completely on assumption and presumption, which means they don't have to prove anything. So, and there's a few ways that they can do that, which we could talk about at some point here too. So, and again, so that's the resident problem again, right? Is that's what the resident is, the taxpayer. Okay, a taxpayer is an office within the government. It's like being the some kind of a title at Tim Hortons, right? I don't know what kind of titles they have at Tim Hortons, what the different employees are called. Right, but that's one of their offices. It's one of their titles is taxpayer. And they can't simply call you a taxpayer. They need you to admit to being a taxpayer, to file things that would deem you to be a taxpayer. That's how they're building all the evidence against you, right? Because, again, a taxpayer is just a title or a role within that whole legal fiction universe. It doesn't, you know, the legal person is not the taxpayer.
Okay, so Dean, let me just stop you there for a sec.
Yes.
So based on what you just said, now you're saying that how a person declares himself as being a taxpayer or holding office for government is by basically filing. So if someone did not know this information, for the first 15 years of his working life, he was filing an income tax return, and now he decides, I want to stop filing. So can he just do that and it ends there, or is there something he has to do in between?
Well, number one, no, you can actually just simply stop filing. Just say, well, yeah, apparently you guys suckered me into filing for 15 years of my life, and there's ways to go back and to fix all of that, by the way, as well, that you can get into as well, but I just refuse to not do it anymore. And we spoke about this on previous episodes. I think it was some of the first ones. Or you just happen to realize you've been working for free for 15 years, and now you want to negotiate terms of service. And among other things, you want to be paid. You want to be paid up front, and you want things like liability waivers, so you're not held personally liable for whatever debts might result from this income tax return, okay? And then the other problem that you get into is the fact that when we sign these documents, our signatures are always unqualified. We don't actually put our status or title underneath our name. So it's left open to presumption now. It's completely open, okay? Now, how many lawyers, when they're sending a letter from their law firm, do they ever put anything underneath their name, their signature?
I think they do, don't they?
I'm pretty sure that there's usually about 87 letters underneath there. Right?
Yeah.
LLP and this and that, and all their different titles, basically. Right? So they're letting you know they're not just contacting you as Joe Blow. This is the capacity that I'm signing this in. Okay, so that's again, capacity and title. You have to attach that stuff to your name. Otherwise, it's left open now to presumption and assumption. And they're going to presume and assume the worst possible thing for you. Right? These are all just little tricks that they use. And again, we covered this in one of the last episodes. And I covered this last night with the two individuals. And I said, really? I said, when you boil it down, What you can easily derive when they're forcing you to sign an income tax return is, number one, you're deeming yourself to be a taxpayer. All taxpayers must do this. Okay, well, and taxpayers are all their crap definitions that only count for internal within their company, within that corporate organization, which basically everything operates is almost like a franchise, if you want to call it that. And I've covered this in past talks and videos. I always use the words trust or franchise, and I'm always trying to explain things in different ways, and they're always just slightly wrong, but it's the concepts we're trying to get across to people, what's going on here. So again, and let me expand on that too. Like, do you think maybe there's a reason they call it the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS? It's internal. Internal to what? People say, somebody texted me today, I think, or posted on my Facebook, or on the Facebook page, or somewhere they posted it, that the Canada Revenue Agency does not even have a license to be a collection agent. And I got back to them, I said, they don't need one. They're a private internal collection service. They don't need to be licensed because they're internal to the organization they exist in. They're not out there publicly doing anything. It's all internal. And again, this is why in the income tax return, you can write off office space. And the funny thing, where we're going with all this is once we flip this around, and that was the comment that was made last night, is when we finally flip this around and we apply what I'm trying to teach people, and we look at everything from reverse, everything that's in an income tax return actually makes sense about why you can't write off personal expenses like food and haircuts and everything else. And this is the example I'll give right now. Tony, I'm going to lease you my car to run a taxi company. And the agreement is, because it's my car, I own the entire car, and I'm going to grant it to you to use. And the terms of this agreement are that when you use it as a taxi cab, and you drive around, you charge people for rides, and you're making all this money, I'm going to allow you to make $20 an hour for your time. You're on payroll. Or, you know what, let's say a percentage of profits. Sorry, let's say a percentage of profits. I'm going to allow you to keep 25% of the pure profit after all operating expenses. Okay? Now I come back 6 months later and you've got all the list of receipts for me of everything that you've written off as an expense to running and maintaining the taxi car, the taxi cab. And I look on there and you've got lobster dinners, hotel rooms for your own personal use, and a whole bunch of things that have absolutely nothing to do with the actual running of the car, the taxi cab. Would I be very happy about that?
Not really.
Probably not. And I would say, no, you cannot write off personal expenses. Office expenses only. Like, I don't know, literally. Anything that you use, say a portion of your home, if that's where you, I'll let you write off 10% of your house payments because you use 10% of your home to do all the paperwork for the taxi company or whatnot, right? So that's all that's really going on. And when we look at that from the reverse, like if I'm the one that all the money is owed to, I wouldn't allow you to write off personal expenses. So I've said in other videos, I'm pretty sure, in another broadcast before, that would it change people's opinions of what the Income Tax Act is as applicability if it turned out that they were the ones that all the money was owed back to? Wouldn't it just make sense that the government's allowed to write off office expenses but not haircuts and lobster dinners? Well, of course, because, again, we're the grantor of the person. And, there's been people arguing with me all week. Well, they're not arguing with me. They're trying to tell me how wrong I am, online especially. Somebody made a comment there about my girlfriend, fuck your opinion that's on Facebook. That's actually their name, trying to tell me how wrong I am with the trust law. And it makes me laugh. And they're just getting more mad, and they're saying that it's been proven I'm wrong because I won't engage them in this argument when they just want to tell me how wrong I am. They're not interested in a debate. So it's funny as hell because I've never actually in my life ever met somebody that's capable of saying absolutely nothing with that amount of words, the circular logic and everything. So anyways, I didn't get involved even. But the funny thing is that if you look at people have brought up Sesta-K before, the person is a Sesta-K trust. Well, and what a Sesta-K actually is when I grant something to somebody for their beneficial use, but it's with conditions. That's what a Sesta-K is. The person with beneficial use, the usufruct, that's the Sesta-K. Now, the government, it turns out, is the tenant of the person. That's what a Sesta-K means. It actually, literally, the modern-day use of the word Sesta-K is tenant. Now, if the government is the tenant of my property, because I've told people before, the person is property. It's a tangible piece of property. It exists. It's recognized. It's yours. And now it turns out it's recognized that that is the case, and the government is the tenant because you've granted it to them, according to all their own rules and definitions and laws. Well, if I had a tenant in a at a property, what would I probably want from them for its use? Probably rent. That's what a tenant pays, rent. The property is yours to use on the condition you pay me rent. Okay? So maybe people see where I'm going with this already, so I'm going to leave that and let people think about that for a little while. So income tax returns are a revenue return, an income tax return. Just think about that for a little while. It's supposed to be a return of revenue, a return of income, if you want to call it that, income return. And income is always revenue minus expenses. And expenses are things like office deductions for office expenses. This is sounding an awful lot more and more like something the government should be filling out. Because we all know that all this shit only applies to government. Okay. I'll leave that one for now. So there's no question the taxpayer is an office within that organization. So everybody has to start thinking about this, and maybe for the next time we talk in another week or a couple weeks on income tax kind of stuff, see how much they can start to realize and get their mind out of this prison that the government is everything, that the government, their interaction with the government is everything. There is nothing in their life that's outside of that. Everything is government. They're never off duty at Tim Hortons, okay? It's a small part of your life. Once you realize it and you leave that little prison, you start to realize it's a small part of your life, that's when your mind is going to start to expand. You're going to start to realize all the possibilities out there in life, like literally being freed from a jail cell that you've never been out of before. And a lot of people have explained the phenomena to me when they finally start to get it, and it's interesting. Okay, so let's see where else to go with this.
You said you're going to touch on how somebody who has been filing for 15 years and all of a sudden decides to stop, how they can clear that.
Yeah, well, this is why, number one, an income tax filing is a year-to-year kind of thing. Just because you were the alleged man that filled the office of taxpayer the previous year doesn't mean that you're the man that's going to fill the office of taxpayer for this tax year.
I quit this job.
Yeah, I quit again. I worked at McDonald's when I was 14, and I think I made $4.70 an hour. Did I have to do that every year for the rest of my life? Is there such thing as a labor contract that binds you for life? Can I not walk into Tim Hortons or McDonald's the next day and say, you know what, guys? I guess technically by law I have to work here for the next 2 weeks. I got to give you like notice or something like that. But I can't just literally quit on you because I've harmed you. Yes, you got time to replace me, but I want a raise in 2 weeks. You can't just demand a raise the next day or whatnot. Or maybe you can, or you got no labor contract with people, and you say, look, you know what? I'm not working for $4.70 anymore. And I'm sure not working as a fry guy anymore. I don't want that to be my job around here. I want to be promoted. I want to do something else, right? You can always negotiate the terms of your service, the terms of your employment, if you want to call it that. One of the other things we spoke about last night is once really people get their grasp around the concepts, they start to understand who they are, it doesn't matter what role they have you play in the courtroom. You can win in every single one of them, every one of them. Just show up there and say, all right, what hat do you want me to wear here today? What hat are you going to force me to wear? Because I can win in any capacity in this courtroom because I know the scam. I know what's going on. In fact, I can play every capacity in this courtroom. You people aren't even necessary. And since it's my person being dealt with here today, you're all fired. I'll just handle everything here. Clerk, you got to stay there, though, because I need a government trustee here to fill out the paper. You got to do your own internal paperwork. You can, like, there's the shit you could do. The possibilities are just endless. So you can always negotiate the terms of service. They might be making it appear as though they're going to force you to do something. But even if somebody ever did force you to do something, the one thing they can never do is force you to do it for free, because that is involuntary servitude. So negotiate the terms. When they send you a notice that says, hey, you haven't filed this year, you can send something back that says, oh, did you want me to fill that paperwork out again? Okay, not a problem. It is a problem because unlike the last 20 years of my life that I've been filling that out, there's going to be terms on my service this year. I've decided I no longer wish to work for free. So here's a couple of my terms. Yeah, you don't want to bill them $11 billion. That's maybe a little unreasonable. It's not, though, if that's what you want. So, I don't know. How does $500 an hour sound? And I estimate that it's going to take me 40 hours to fill out this return, which means that it's going to cost X amount of money to do this return. So I'm going to require that as payment. And because you people don't pay your bills, I'm going to require that payment up front. I want to be paid up front, which means when I get the certified check in the mail is when I start to perform. I'm getting some big feedback. Oh, there we go. So now we're not done yet. Not only that, I want a liability waiver from prosecution because this income tax return basically states that I'm making an oath that I filed in accordance with the Income Tax Act, and if I filed incorrectly, there's penalties attached to that. Well, I've never read your Income Tax Act, and I'm not qualified to navigate it or make interpretations about it because I don't have a license to practice law. So I want a liability waiver for making mistakes because I'm unqualified. Now, number four, it seems to me in the past that every time I filled one of these things out, you guys tried to make me personally liable for the debt. So I want it to be understood that I'm not personally liable for your company expenses or whatever liability may result from this document. Do you think they're going to be interested in having you fill out a return anymore under those terms and conditions? Probably not.
Well,
but you have every right to do that.
I don't know if they're going to give up that easily, Dean.
There's no question they do, especially if they get your counteroffer by registered mail. Okay?
You think they'd either drop it right there?
They may try to push you. You'll probably get a standard response back. And this is the other thing people have to realize. There's never, never, ever will there be one dealing with the government where they're trying to force you to do something you've been doing for 20 years for free. You contact them once, and they just go away. The whole point of government is to scare you, to use fear, to arrest you, possibly throw you in jail for 20 days, to destroy your reputation to your friends and family or whatever else. That's just the way they conduct themselves. So expect that. But as soon as they know you don't fear them anymore, that's when it starts to actually hit home. And they just realize, okay, well, it's not that simple. We got to get real serious with this guy if we want him to perform anymore. And again, once you know the scam, nothing they can say or do matters anymore. And it's all about exposing what they're doing. And just a little bit of knowledge does that. That's it. Again, ask them to show you the law that compels you to work for free. Number one. Now, I've been waiting 17 years for a certified copy of the Income Tax Act to be produced. It doesn't exist. That could be one of your terms and conditions. Look, I got to make sure, if you guys want me to file in accordance with this thing called an Income Tax Act, you're going to have to provide me with a certified copy from the Queen's printer to make sure that I have a certified copy that's accurate and correct because I'm supposed to file in accordance with this thing. What happens if there's a mistake in it? Because every copy of that manual you get from anywhere always has a liability waiver and a disclaimer. It says they're not responsible for the accuracy of whatever is in that book or that document. So now I have to trust that whoever printed that printed an accurate copy after they put a disclaimer in it that they're not responsible for it being accurate? Fuck no. You guys provide me with a certified copy from the Queen's printer. And I'll tell you right now, you're not going to get one because it doesn't exist. I've been waiting 17 years. That was one of my conditions. You provide me with a certified copy of that act, and I'll file in accordance with it. But you're also paying me.
Okay, so Dean, let's just go a little bit of a role play here. So let's say you're being assessed, and they're telling you that you haven't filed and stuff like that. You tell them, oh, you want me to file this? Fine, here are my terms, here are my fees. Now, the guy who's receiving your correspondence, chances are he's just a person employed by CRA, doesn't have a clue what you're talking about.
Yep.
He's going to come back to you, what are you talking about? You're obligated under law, blah, 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 this, to do this. So you have to educate him first on what's really going on, because he probably doesn't know.
No, actually what I would do is I would send my response. I'd give him one chance. The second response would go to the commissioner for the individual province. And I would let him know that his employee is either incompetent or willfully negligent or both, and that he better take care of this matter now, or I'm going to hold him personally liable as a superior officer. This is your underling. You deal with this now. You educate him on the subject, because apparently he's incompetent, and he has no idea what his job is, and he's under this belief that I'm obligated to perform for government for free, and then be liable for whatever is a result of that of the action they want me to carry out. Start asking for laws.
Okay, see, that makes it a little clear.
Yeah, and let them know who you're going to hold liable. I'm going to hold you liable, and or I'm going to go up to the minister that's responsible for that you answer to, and I'm going to hold him liable for what you're doing to me. Never deal with peons at the front desk. They're put there on purpose to lead you through never-ending circular arguments that go nowhere. That's the whole point.
Okay, that makes it clearer and more of an informed answer, I guess, because the average person that works for Revenue Canada wouldn't have a clue what you're talking about or what any of this information is. They're just going to look at you like you're a nutcase.
And you're also making the assumption that they're using their real names. Okay? There's a maxim of law out there. You ought to know with whom you deal. Before I talk to anybody, I want them to send me two pieces of government issue ID if they're a government agent. I want their birth date and a copy of their driver's license. Now I know who they are, so I know who to go after when I want to file a lawsuit.
Okay, I've tried that. Now, this is a question from me now. I've tried that in the past, and I always got the answer, I am not obligated to give you anything than my first name and employee ID number.
Then your response is that I'm not obligated to speak to you. Right? There's been people that have used the argument that look, hey, I'm not doing anything for you people unless you pay me. And the Revenue Canada agent gets back to them and says, well, there's no provision in the Income Tax Act to pay you. And you get back to them and you say, well, there's no provision in my act to work for free. So where does that leave us? I guess we're not doing business together. And
okay.
Yeah, that's public servant refusing to identify themselves. I'm sure that's probably a criminal charge somewhere. I know I've read one of those. That doesn't. And if they're refusing to identify themselves, then you go straight to the commissioner. Hey, one of your idiots is trying to compel performance from me and will not identify themselves. So I'm going to hold you liable for their actions until this is remedied, until this is fixed. I can find you. I can subpoena you to court. I can have a subpoena issued for you to show up at a deposition. But I can't this other idiot because he's concealing himself. So I'm going to go after you because you're liable for your employees.
That's wonderful.
Right? I think there was, for a while there were so many people that started contacting CRA and appointing, I can't remember where this came from. Somebody out there was a while back told everybody to go and start appointing the commissioner of the CRA for the individual province they live in, appointing him to fill out the income tax return. And they must have got so many of these that they actually put right on the CRA website, do not appoint the commissioner to do your income taxes. I thought that was hilarious. They actually had to go and put that on their website to instruct people to stop right in there with the rest of the income tax myths or whatever, D-tax myths or something like that. I thought that was hilarious, though, because the only way that they would get so mad about that is if what people were doing was absolutely correct. But I wouldn't do that. So that's another big option as well. And that, again, that's not the only option. That's just a good place to start. That was one of the places I started at years ago, when I woke up, I think that was one of the DTAC sites where I finally understood that I don't have to do anything for free. I said, well, yeah, I don't have to do anything for free. If they want me to do this, I got no problem with that. But they're going to pay me. I'm not an accountant. I don't understand this shit. I don't want to do this. I'm under no obligation to do this. Well, it's the duty of a good citizen to... No. Show me the law where I'm required to do this and where I'm required to do it for free. Just show me the law. I'm still waiting for that one, too. I think I asked for them to provide me with the law that obligates me to fill out an income tax return. It compels performance from me. Show me the labor contract. Well, they can never provide that either. There isn't one.
Are you familiar with Lovey Cridge, Dean?
No, I don't think I know the name.
She's an accountant, senior accountant that worked for CRA for 25 years, and I heard her speaking at the Free Thinkers Club in Vancouver here in person, and she basically says she's got the actual documentation that proves that the Income Tax Act in Canada was never legally legislated.
Of course it wasn't. And it doesn't need to be.
And basically what she does is she shows up in court with her paperwork and the case is dropped instantly.
Yeah.
They've ransacked her house 3 times trying to get the documents back, but she never keeps them in her residences. And when she comes into court, she only comes in with the notarized certified copies of the original. She doesn't take the original with her.
Yep.
I'm actually working on getting her onto one of our Conscious Living episodes to see if she'd be willing. She's an older lady now. She's a senior citizen, and I don't know if she has the energy to do it, but I'm trying to get her on one of the shows to see what's her take on this.
Well, here's a couple more legal concepts that people have to be very comfortable with as well. Number one, we all know the burden of proof is on the accuser. You could just easily show up for court and just verbally say, I don't believe that there is any such thing called the Income Tax Act. I've seen no evidence or any facts that prove that there is any such law called the Income Tax Act. I rebut its existence absolutely. And I want you to compel these people to produce this law that they claim exists. Prove it up. And prove that it's enforced in effect. It's not. There's no obligation on me to prove that something is not enforced or effect, or there is not. How the hell do you prove a negative? How do I prove that something doesn't exist? I can't. You're supposed to prove that something does exist, and that it even applies to me in the first place. It's all fucking nonsense. Now, having said that as well, where was I just going to go with that? That's why. You know, like there's people out there that are hiding and concealing and coveting these little secret documents that prove certain things. You know that it's mine and no one else has this, and they can never prove this and that. And I've got maps and I've got all this shit, and none of it matters. None of it matters. That's all inside that little mind prison you're going to leave right away, where nothing else exists. So that doesn't exist out here in the real world. I can't remember the gentleman out in Alberta that I spoke to there last year. Geez, I'll think of it as soon as we get off the phone. He was the one that organized a little seminar we did in Edmonton, and he was the guy that went to court and had all these criminal charges against, I think it was a police officer or somebody, I can't remember. And he read every single one of these things out in the court, and it was, I believe, Queen's Bench, because it was Alberta. And after every charge and the evidence backing it, the judge just said, I'm sorry, Mr. So-and-so, there is no such law on this land. Isn't it convenient that they're aware of the fact that there is no such law on this land when it benefits them? They know there's no such laws on this land. And when it benefits them, they know that. They just gave you the answer. Well, you didn't file in accordance with the Income Tax Act. What Income Tax Act? I'm aware of no such law on this land. If you're claiming there is one, produce it.
Which is the whole basis, actually, of Aaron Rousseau's documentary, America, Freedom, and Fascism, when he was challenged by the president of the We the People Association to do a documentary to prove if the IRS actually has a written law that says you have to file and pay income taxes.
Yep. But you don't even need to get into that part. That's actually arguing with them. Oh, you want this filled out? Okay, not a problem. Here's my terms and conditions. This is what I need from you. If you want me to do this, this is what I need from you to do it.
Now, why would you recommend that as being the best option? When, as in someone like myself, if I'm saying, if I know there's no law, and I know I don't want to work for the government, so I'm not obligated to do anything you want me to do. So why shouldn't I just tell them to go screw themselves?
Yeah, absolutely.
So why even tell them, here's my fees, here's my terms, if you want me to do it? Why not tell them, I'm not obligated to do it. Prove to me I am, and then I'll do it.
Well, again, do you have a witness you can produce at trial that will testify to the fact that I'm either a resident or a taxpayer? Because I rebut that, absolutely. No, they never have anybody, not one person. I think that's like Mark Stevens is very good at doing that. That's all he, who's your witness? Who are you going to be bringing? Because until you attack that presumption that you're a taxpayer or a resident that they've accused you of being, it stands. Because everything the Crown does is deemed to be in good faith and true and accurate until rebutted or protested or contested.
Okay, now Derek says here to me, he says, notice of conditional acceptance. So I guess that's his answer to my question. Why would I even give them my terms to fill out the return?
But that's what a notice of conditional acceptance is. I accept your offer on the condition that you pay me, you give me this, you give me this, and you give me that. Those are conditions. That's a counter offer.
Okay, here we have Sandra saying all Canadian citizens must pay taxes.
Which Canada? Same question I asked Department of Homeland Security going down to the States. Sir, at this time you're being denied entry into the United States. Which one? The Republic or the Democracy? Sir, I can't talk about that. Better believe they won't talk about that because they're two different fucking things. And the same thing with Canada. Isn't it interesting, there's some acts and statutes out there that have Her Majesty in upper lowercase, and then there's other acts and statutes that have Her Majesty in all uppercase letters. Clearly a distinction between the two. Why? In fact, I don't know, and I don't even care anymore. I just don't care. I don't care anymore. All I know, again, I don't need to know the family history of the person that I'm going to be doing a stucco job for. Just pay me. Well, our farm family normally has dinner around 4 o'clock. I don't care.
Okay, just a quick note here to Lisa. Oh, not Lisa. Which one is it here? Jessica. She asked, what is the definition of a citizen? And Jessica and everybody else who kind of logged in here after my original announcement, you probably did not hear me say this. I just want to remind you guys, if you wish to ask questions to Dean, I'm only going to pose the questions if they're put in here in bold red text. Otherwise, I will assume you're just conversing with other members in the chat room. Jessica, I think your question was answered by somebody as far as to what is the definition of a citizen. Do you want to answer that one too, Dean?
I don't mind talking about that actually, because I do think this is something that does need some more research, and I have noticed, and it is interesting, because they use two different, I've noticed at least two different citizens in most of the acts and statutes, depending on which one you go through, and it's the same thing as there's two different provinces. And even in the same act, in the same paragraph, they'll refer to one province using a lowercase p, the province this, the province that, and then we're talking about the province of whatever, then they switch to a capital letter P, which is something different, right? Like you, a lowercase c is something nonspecific. It could be anything. It's not actually a name yet. It's just another word until you start getting into a capital C, a Canadian citizen with a capital C. I think that's a different entity, right? Because it's actually been capitalized now, and it's specific now. There's a specific meaning attached to that. It depends on what the specific meaning is, right? So I wouldn't say that I've actually made a definitive answer on the citizen thing yet. I've heard from every, nope, the minute you're a citizen, you're a slave. Bullshit. Bullshit, I don't believe that. It's never been proven. But isn't it interesting that they never use the word citizen? Especially police, when they pull you over, do they ever ask you if you're a citizen for the most part? Or they do, for the most part, they want to know where you're a resident of, right? Resident to me is a catch word. I'm not a big fan of the word resident. I do think, personally, the word citizen is another catch word. But I've seen no evidence to really substantiate that. You're just under no obligation to tell anybody if you're a citizen or not. But there is definitely different types of citizens up here, just like there are different types of citizens in the United States. So the word citizen is not the dirty word. It's what type of citizen are you, I guess. What's your status? What's your title? That's different. Because they always have to attach the word taxpayer to you, right? That's the type of citizen you are. You're a taxpayer. So it's not enough that you're just a Tim Hortons employee. It's which type of Tim Hortons employee are you, right? They don't force the upper management to mop the floors. Are you an employee of Tim Hortons? Yep. Go mop that floor. No, I'm upper management. They have janitors for that. I'm not the janitor. I think it's more likely something like that, but that's not really something that I delve into too much. Maybe it's one of the things I should get into here. I can't do everything, though. I've tried. I tend to specialize in some things more than others, but I'm just going to tell you I'm not convinced on the citizen angle yet.
Okay, Sandra. Sandra is the person who, and I'm guessing here, this person is probably new to our shows from the questions that this person is asking, and welcome to the show, first of all. But Sandra is the person that said that all Canadians must pay income tax, and then comes back again by saying an income tax shall be paid as required by this act on the taxable income for each taxation year of every person resident in Canada at any time in the year.
Yep. Now, I would agree with that, and here's what I'm going to say. Now, let's pretend the citizen, let me think of the way I want to phrase this. Okay. If the name on the birth certificate is the citizen, and the citizen is a very small part of you, so you're not the citizen, you make up all the citizen, but the citizen is not all of you. It's a very small part of you. If you want to use the word citizen for the same word as what the trust is, that's fine. But then it comes down to who is the one actually obligated to file? Who is the one actually obligated to file? Who is supposed to be paying who? Remember, we know that government can only pass laws that apply to them. And we know that we're the grantors. They have nothing that we didn't put into it. So put those two together. If we're the grantor and they're the tenant, and there's a law that obligates somebody to file and pay money, connect the dots.
Okay. Well, if I were to answer that, I would say the citizen's obligated to file.
Well, the citizen's a fiction. The citizen contains many components. It sounds rhetorical. It sounds like it's, I don't know, call it a parable, call it whatever you want. That's why I say the problem is it's one of those concepts that's way further ahead than just refusing to be recognized as the person. You have to understand why you're saying what you're saying. Otherwise, you can just get yourself into more trouble. That's a much more advanced thing. And sometimes even just knowing the answer is not enough. You have to know how you arrived at that answer, right? That's like math in grade 6, right? They want to know how you arrived at the answer. It's not just important that you have the answer. How did you arrive at the answer? They want to see if you actually understand.
Okay.
But there's a reason that Winston Schrode is correct, why when he walks into court every time, the only thing he ever says is, where's my check? As I see that up on the board right now, where's my check? Where's my check? Where is my check? If you have an investment broker handling a portfolio for you, and once a year you're supposed to get a statement of account and your dividends back on your investment portfolio, and somebody is in possession of all your investments that are in your investment portfolio, like a broker, who is obligated to provide you with the statement of account? Are you supposed to fill out your own statement of account for what all your investments have done that year? No. All right, so people need to start thinking about who is who in this scenario. Who is the slave and who is the master? Okay, that's why these concepts are so fundamentally important. Instead of just actual pointing to a law somewhere that says something very cryptic and stupid that you don't care about anyways because it doesn't apply to you. Okay? So, some people might not agree with this. Again, that's fine. Never venture any further out there than just refusing to be recognized as the person. That's it. Interesting that somebody brought up asking for the master file. And again, if you are one of the citizens of this land, and that's very important the way you phrase that, by the way, because just the word citizen on its own does nothing. You have to be more specific. Which citizen? What type of citizen? What, a Roman citizen? A citizen of Russia? Oh, a citizen of Canada? Which Canada? Right? But they always leave things just open. They never want to be very precise because then they can operate off their presumptions. So again, the master file for the IRS down in the States. Wow. If you're a 14th Amendment citizen and you get a copy of your master file, you better look up what they have you listed as occupation on there. And I've actually, and that's because I saw Martin brought this up on the chat thing there. It's confirmed down in the United States, the IRS will actually have you listed as a foreigner. A 14th Amendment citizen is a foreigner to the land. And they will have you listed as a tobacco farmer in Puerto Rico or a drug runner from some other South American country. Or they'll have you listed as a gun runner, something along those lines. It'll be something to do with either alcohol, tobacco, or firearms. And that's why they always have the BATF present at every raid they do for the IRS, because they try to make it look like they're going after a foreigner. They have to, because they can't tax the sovereign people, the citizens of the land. Those laws don't apply to the people, the king's children, the citizens. So there's different types of citizens. Right? They didn't need to ratify the 14th Amendment. If it's the 14th, I'm pretty sure it's the 14th Amendment that created a new type of citizen, right? A slave class of citizen, if you want to put it on that, right? They didn't free the black people. They made us all black people. They made us all slaves. That's just one type of citizen. What type of citizen are you claiming that I am? Get them to clarify. Precisely, what kind of citizen are you claiming I am? What have you deemed me to be? Because I haven't said shit. Right now, everything is just a presumption from you. Accusations. False accusations. Okay? So, it's very important to be precise as well.
Have you been reading on the chat? Are you on the chat room, Dean?
Kind of. I'm looking up every once in a while, but I find when I read, I get distracted and I lose my spot when I'm kind of ranting here. So.
Okay, because Sindra put a whole bunch of stuff in here, which it's confusing the heck out of me, actually, because it's an installment. I believe it's excerpts of a letter that she got. But the gist of it is that she basically, or I'm not sure if Sindra is a male or female, but Sindra asked, under what jurisdiction basically you're asking me to do this. And response she got is, we can only confirm that the definitions of what Canada means to us is the same as what the Crown has interpreted to be. We recommend you contact the Attorney General of your respective state.
Yeah. I'm reading that right now, and I can tell you right now, in the Interpretation Act, Canada, for greater certainty, includes the waters and the territorial sea around Canada. Canada exists on the water. Only. That's it. The exclusion of one is the exclusion of all other. Anything that actually comes after the word includes is the only thing it means. Inclusio a something, I can't remember the Latin phrase for it. But the expression of one is the exclusion of all others. If I say the basket contains apples of the green variety, the basket includes apples of the green variety, I mean it only has green apples. If I say there's all sorts of apples in that basket, including green, that means there's also green apples in there as well as every other type of apple. The basket includes green apples. That means it's only green apples. That's the English language. So they exist on the water. That's where Canada exists. No shit, they don't want to answer the fucking question. They give you these circular answers. We can only confirm that the definitions of what Canada means to us is the same as what the Crown has interpreted it. We recommend you contact the Attorney General for the respective blah, blah, blah. And then you get another letter from them. Then you get another letter from them. And then just circular bullshit. They won't answer the damn question. They can't. Because it would expose everything. It's horseshit. It means nothing. That's the argument they want you to get caught up on. I don't give a shit what their fucking definition is anyways. It's theirs. It's not mine. I think I ranted on that about one of my other videos, right? I don't care. I don't care. Unless it's in a contract with my signature where I agreed that that was the definition of a term we were going to use, and it's a contract that I'm bound by because I entered into it with somebody willingly with full disclosure and I was paid, I don't give a shit. Man, I watched a video today. I'm going to rant here for like one more minute. This dude, Larkin Rose, on YouTube, I sent him a little message. I want to talk to that guy. This guy's got uncanny logic. I posted on my Facebook page. And he makes fun of this the same way I do, where I talked in one of the other videos about, how about I just write something down on a piece of paper that says, I own my neighbor's car, or I own my neighbor's TV. And I walk over to my neighbor and I say, hey, I'm here to collect my TV. And he says, what do you mean? I said, well, look right here on this little piece of paper. It says, I own your TV. Is he going to give me his TV? Is it any more legitimate when the government does that? No. And this guy makes fun of it. And I started laughing. I said, holy shit, this guy's making the same jokes that I am about statutes and legislation. Who gives a shit? What does that have to do with me? Because 400 assholes in a room somewhere sat around and thought of some pile of shit to print on a document and publish it. Somehow that transfers a liability onto me? And you call me fucking crazy? You people need to be in straitjackets because you're all nuck and futz. I don't care about their definitions or their laws or any of their bullshit. All I care about is I granted them something and I want my return on investment. That's all I care about. I don't need to understand laws for that. So, back to the Income Tax Act.
Okay,
again.
Dean, we're going to, unless you got something important to say, we're going to go into questions because I'm getting bombarded here with a lot of questions and I'd like to cover as many of them as possible before the second hour is up, and we're already into the 5 minutes into the second hour already.
Oh,
so
Martin, you and I are going to have a talk after the show. He's saying that Larkin Rose is funnier than me, so we're going to have a little chat after the show. Okay, question away.
All right. I promised a Dr. Mike, he's probably on the show listening right now, I promised him that I'd handle his question first. He sent this email a couple of weeks ago, and and he sent it several times. And I mentioned to him that I'll make a point of addressing that with you right away. So here it is. After my first trial with four charges, two were failure to file and two were evasion, I was convicted on the failure to file charges and got a hung jury on the evasion charges. What would Dean do to make the failure to file charges go away, vacated or voided? I do not care if you use my name. Okay, the rest doesn't matter. So basically, he wants to know is one, the two on tax evasion where he's got a hung jury, and he's got a charge for two failure to file.
Yep. Wonderful that people don't mind their names being used. Now, number one, and actually, you know, the problem with this is I'm gonna go off here for about 30 seconds here before I answer the question. I spoke about this with somebody else recently too. There's only so much that we can remember and regurgitate at any one time, and sometimes we're missing things that we should have brought up last time, and that's kind of the problem with all this stuff. We miss things now and then. And even just talking with my brother the other day, who's going to be going back to court here right away, and something last minute just clicked in my head, and I went, oh, shit, I forgot to tell him to do that last time. I got to make sure he does it this time. And then again last night, I was like, okay, I got to make sure I remember to remind so-and-so of this when they go back to court next time. One of the most fatal flaws that we all make when we show up to argue in their courtroom is that we show up and we make a general appearance. And this should be Freeman 101. This should be like, do not ever, ever do anything without qualifying your signature or making sure that you appear in a proper capacity. I guess it's not the proper way of saying that, but when you show up and you make general appearance, and this is right in their own law books, general appearance waives all all deficiencies in the Crown's claim. All deficiencies. They no longer have to prove that you're a taxpayer. They no longer have to prove you're a resident. They no longer have to prove you're required to. They only have to prove that you didn't file now. That's it. That's the only thing you got to prove, because you made general appearance and you waived every possible deficiency in their claim. And their claim is one giant deficiency. So every time you appear should be by special restricted appearance. Special appearance. Never general anything, because when it's general, then everything can be assumed and presumed. If you're there by special appearance, well, that changes everything now. That's like a conditional acceptance. That's terms and conditions attached to your appearance. Okay? So that's a very, 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 very important thing people have to remember, and I always forget that one. I used to talk about it all the time, like a year and a half ago. So special appearance. I remember somebody brought that up one time, and I went and looked into it, and went, holy shit, yeah, that's incredibly important. Because every time I ever went to court before that, I just went in and I made general appearance. And as soon as you make general appearance, bam, they generally have jurisdiction, and all deficiencies in the Crown claim is waived. So that's a very big. That would be the number one thing I would have to say to. What was it, Mike?
Yeah. Sorry. Say that again.
I think it was Mike. Was that the name of the guy asking the question?
Dr. Mike. Yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Mike. So that's one of the biggest parts.
Here's the deal: that his court case, his hearing's tomorrow. So I made a point to tell him I'll make sure they ask the question tonight because he has to appear tomorrow.
Yep.
Now he's got two counts, like I said, of fail to file and two counts of evasion. The evasion ones were, you got a hung jury. So he wants to know, how would you make the charges for failure to file go away? How would you do that?
Well, you go in by special appearance. I'm here by way of special appearance. Now, you just put restrictions on your appearance. That means that I refuse to appear generally and accept the claim that I'm a taxpayer. Now you can start using negative averments if you want to start to force the Crown to have to prove up all their claims. And if you don't even want to do that, I'm here. You know what? I just realized that I've been making general appearance before this, and that was a mistake. I wish to correct that. I'm here by special appearance, and that's from the beginning, ab initio, nunc pro tunc, as before, so now, all the time in the middle. I was always here by special appearance, and just because I didn't realize. Right, my ignorance cannot be a liability. You people aren't being honest and forthright with me here. So now I'm making special appearance. Now I know what's going on, and I am rebutting absolutely every claim these people are making. It's all lies. I consent to nothing. Every single claim they've made against me is false. I've never seen or been presented with any facts or evidence that would demonstrate that I'm a taxpayer, a resident, somebody obligated to file and pay an income tax return, somebody that's even qualified to navigate the Income Tax Act. In fact, I've never even seen the Income Tax Act, and I don't believe it exists. And I challenge them to produce a certified copy that they can prove is in full force and effect. Because until all that is proven, I am not saying a word. The burden of proof is on them. Get that out of your mouth if you can remember it all and actually understand it, which means you can defend it, and it's over right there.
That's a good answer, and I hope Dr. Mike is on the air and he's going to listen to this, the archived recording.
There you go. They failed to disclose they were running a clown show. That is absolutely correct. You people failed to disclose to me that this is a kangaroo court. Can I get a determination on that, Mr. Justice? Is this, in fact, a kangaroo court, or was this a lawfully convened de jure court of this land? You'll probably be asked to leave at that point, or you'll be beaten and arrested, one of the two. It's all crap. It's all crap.
His second part of his question, which kind of interests me personally, he says, how do they justify, if you got a hung jury on the failure, on tax evasion, how can they justify charging for failure to file?
I don't know. How do they justify anything that they do?
Like, if they couldn't prove that he evaded taxes, then why would they charge him for failure to file?
Well, that's what I mean. I couldn't even begin to attempt to make any sense of anything that they do in those courtrooms. They accuse us of being nonsensical. Well, these people are nonsensical to the point of lunacy, right? To even claim that you understand one of their statutes, you have to admit to being a lunatic. It's lunacy. Everything they do there is lunacy. There is no law in that courtroom. There's been justices that have admitted that. There is no law in this courtroom. They know that. The whole thing is just a Tijuana donkey show made to convince you that there is some real obligation on your part, when there isn't. They need to convince you of that, right? That's what consent of the governed is. If they can convince you of it, then it is so.
Okay, one last thing from Dr. Mike, and I'm going to go to our callers. Callers, thank you for being patient. I'll be with you just a minute. He says that when he appeared in court, I guess that would be on September, and for the two counts of failure to file, he asked the prosecutor, what facts do you have that the codes are applicable to me? To which she objected and the judge sustained with no findings, facts, or conclusions in law, and then he also objected to those exhibits and people, and of course she, the prosecutor, objected to the same thing, and he sustained hers.
Yes, the reason the judge sustained right away the objection was because it's already been determined by the way of general appearance that you are obligated, you are the taxpayer. Every single claim and presumption of the Crown is considered to be true and correct and accurate and in good faith, because it's the Crown, after all, the Crown Corporation. And the only thing that they have to prove now is that you didn't do it, right? That's it. So that's the reason why, is the general appearance. And on top of that, no, I don't even care about that anyways. I would have pressured, okay, why? Why did you sustain it? Excuse me. Are you trying to say that's not relevant? Are you assuming liability for that there is a liability on my part to fill this out, or whatever the hell the question he just said was? He said, excuse me, Mr. Justice, are you assuming full liability for the claim that there is an obligation placed on me, that I must fill this paperwork out? Because I got no problem suing you personally, and then you can provide the evidence that you're using to substantiate why you just sustained, without any argument whatsoever, their objection.
Okay, Dr. Mike, I hope that was satisfactory. I hope this helps you tomorrow. I wish you good luck in your case, and hope you come out of this winning.
Yeah.
Going to our first caller. So, caller with area code 250, extension 1955. You're on the air. Can you please give us your name, please? Okay, caller. Yeah, that's because he's got his, he's listening to the show while on the phone.
Hello.
250, ending with 1955. Are you there?
I may be here.
Okay. Okay, I'm showing your phone number here being area code 250, ending in 1955. Would that be you?
Yeah, it might be. I'm just at my brother-in-law's place here, so I'm not sure if that's the right number or not.
Yeah. Anyways, what's your name?
This is Jack Peach, and I'm calling all the way from the snowy Okanagan here, and just a little bit off the UK border.
Okay.
Hey, Dean, how you doing, bud?
Very good. Yourself?
Very good. We met briefly, Dean, when you were out in Kelowna. You put on a little seminar. I was only able to stay for just a little while.
Oh, yeah, just having a beer there after the criminal charge hearing.
No, that wasn't it. It was a little bit before. I was there before beer time started.
Okay.
But the reason that I've called is that I kind of went on a little bit of a binge over the Christmas holidays here, and I was picking up on some of these Blog Talk Radio things. And I've been tilting at windmills with these guys for a very, very long time. And I think you're bang on, because you can get so buried in all of the garbage, all of the stupid stuff. And if you just back up and stick on a premise that they can't even get up to bat, let alone make a dash for first base. Yeah?
Yep. Oh, there's no question.
And that's it. Like, you know, you can, I've got Bouvier's and Black's Law dictionaries, and I've been in court, and they've throw me in jail on contempt charges. They've done all that shit. But the only reason they were ever able to get away with that is because I became, what, intimidated.
Yep.
And then people just need to back up and stay on their primary fundamental purpose of what it is they're doing there. These guys got nothing. There's no place for them to prove any jurisdiction. There's no place for them to prove any show cause. There's no place for them to prove anything, and all they rely on is just to be able to intimidate folks with their garbage.
Yeah, well, they need to trick you into one of their little administrative internal tribunals there, where all their rules now apply. So you make general appearance, and you agree to abide by all those rules, and every single one of those rules is designed to screw you.
That's it. One little thing, you know, like if you go back to that live birth certificate,
yep.
Yeah, if I could, you know, dare say call it an original kind of organic, you know, first piece of paper that was given to you by your folks.
It's a deed.
One thing that I'd like to encourage, you know, your listeners to pay attention to is if their folks are still alive, whoever signed that thing, get an affidavit done by them. My mom, my dad, it was never their intention, you know, to, you know, create this fictional vessel that was out there, right? I was giving them a namesake, and that along with that live birth certificate with an affidavit from the signing parent, holy smokes, there's that, you know, like, it's like a two-place, right?
Yep.
You got an affidavit from the given name from the parent, and you've got that live birth certificate. You never need to go farther than that.
Well, now you're getting into correcting mistakes territory, which is another option you can do. You can either figure out who you are, claim it as your own property, and then demand the people that are using it start paying you, or you can just deny it altogether and just say, this was done without my consent. It was never my intent to do this. I want nothing to do with this. Go away. And that's correct.
You know, and I think that's so important. You know, I listen to, you know, many of the callers that perhaps are listening right now, and they've got, you know, like individual problems that they're dealing with, and you can get, you know, caught up in all the stuff, and if you just stick with that fundamental primary focus, right? You were talking, you know, about your brother who got, you know, yanked over, and they were putting him through the gears, and he just held his ground. That's all they could ever do.
That's it. He was out by midnight. He's up on more charges than he was last time now. They've added one more charge of failure to appear and telling him he's never getting out, because now he's you refused to show up for court last time we let you out. You're never getting out of here. You better drop the free man bullshit. You're done. You're never getting out of here. You better start cooperating.
And that would scare
easy on you.
That would scare the bejesus out of just about anybody.
Except he laughed and he said, "Are you done talking? Good.
Yeah, you know, I don't mean to, you know, jump into it, but fuck you. Like,
basically,
piss off. This is not where you're going, right?
Guess who was out by midnight of that day?
Bingo. And if he had waffled, If he had said, oh, my God, I'm not going to, oh, my goodness, my wife's going to kill me and everything's going to be totally shitty, right? If he had done that, they would have had him.
Why? Because he abandoned his claim. And now
bingo,
they know
bingo.
He was making false claims. And if you're a false claimant...
I've
got to
tell you a little story. You know, I've been doing this for a long time, Dean.
They're going to beat you like you've never been beaten before if you're a false claimant.
Yeah. You just showed them where you're at.
Yep.
But it's funny. You were talking a little earlier in this conversation. They were giving me a really bad time. Said, you know, I was obligated to collect GST and all this, like, years ago. And I said, well... You know, could you show me the contract where I'm obligated to collect taxes for you? And if you can show me that, I'm really happy to collect it, but I charge $50 for every contract that I put out. So if I'm going to collect your GST, please show me the contract, and I charge $50. So actually, you're saying that I owe you a ton of money, but actually you owe me a lot more. And
yeah.
I've never heard back from them.
Yeah. Do you have any idea how much I'm charging you to administrate this tax for you? Because I don't work for free. Okay, I'm not obligated to do this, but I will. But here's how much I charge for my services.
You bet. And I think that the whole thing here, it doesn't matter what the situation is. All this bullshit color of law and all the stuff they're trying to do, if you hold your ground, stand on that, you know, live birth certificate as the place where you can be the creditor, that's it.
Yep.
You don't have to go farther.
Okay, Jack.
I didn't really have any questions for you because I think what you're doing, Dean, is awesome. And, you know, you were even saying you've inspired some people. I dropped out of this a while back because I just was fed up. And you kind of inspired me to get back into the mix again.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I've heard that a couple of times now, and it's an honor to be told that by people. So.
Okay,
well,
Jack,
I mean that
you.
From the bottom of my heart.
Thanks,
I'll say goodnight, Nelly.
All right. Have a good new year.
Okay, our next caller. I don't have a number for you here, but if you can hear me, all I'm showing is a whole bunch of ones. You're on the air, and your mic is live. Caller? I believe you must have been calling in through Skype. Okay, I guess he's not going to answer. All right.
Yeah, let me comment on the board real quick here where Jessica and Clinton Bender, documents are nice, not neat, and special appearance. Now, that's correct. Once you get comfortable with what's going on, you can start speaking live to your own matter. You're better off not filing any documents in their court because now the State Immunity Act starts to apply, right? You just want to get a copy of the live birth record in there just to say, hey, look, I'm the grantor of this. I'm just going to speak to everything, though. I'm not filing any documents into your bullshit court. I'm not participating. The minute you file documents, you're participating now. Yeah, viva voce. Martin and I were talking about viva voce the other day. I mean, I actually just got confirmation. I won my last hearing on December 14th. I went into Master's Chambers here in Manitoba, my lawsuit against an insurance company. I didn't prepare one submission, not one. To fight a 57-page submission full of case law and procedural errors in my lawsuit from like 5 years ago against an insurance company. Okay? I won. And all I did was answer to it viva voce, live. I just said, nah, you know what? Unfortunately, Mr. Justice, Your Honor, whatever. I said, I read about halfway through their nonsense, and it just occurs to me that I really don't care about all this crap because it's a bunch of case law that's irrelevant and meaningless to me and procedures that I'm not bound by. So, I said, having said that, I want you to dismiss their motion to strike my statement of claim because I want the facts to be presented to the court, and I want the truth to be uncovered, and I want the court to make a ruling based on the facts. That's it. Okay? Well, the same lawyer that was hanging up on me 2 months ago is now emailing, asking to settle, and I just got the notice I won the hearing, and the judge has ordered me to answer to their request for particulars, but it's not an order. He says this is not to be construed as an order for particulars pursuant to Rule 25, but he's asked me that I do it. I'm ordering you to answer, but this is not an order for particulars in accordance with this rule. He's just ordering me to comply to move the matters ahead. Okay? Well, why is it that I won? I had no submissions. I just made a plain statement of facts. I don't give a shit about their case law. It's crap. It has nothing to do with my case. And that's your answer to the Meade versus Meade horse shit that they might try to pig puke up onto the desk when you go into court sometime. Well, Mr. Clifford, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but there's been a recent decision out of Alberta called Meade versus Meade. Said, yeah, I know all about it. It's crap. It's nonsense. It's personal opinion. It's puke. You don't actually subscribe to such a lunacy, do you? Well, they don't want to talk about that anymore. It has nothing to do with your case. They just need you to believe that a ruling has been made and you have no claim. You have no standing. You have no ground to stand on. Or your argument's nonsensical. I've heard that one many times already. It's crap. I don't care. And they have to know that you know that. It means that case law? Case law? What the hell does that case have to do with mine? Why even review the facts of this case then? Just say, oh, you had the same claim that guy does. Well, no, you lose. There's no point in even having any more hearings. It's nonsense. For God's sake. Anyways, go ahead.
Okay, question from Vincent. It's two questions, actually. If I no longer pay income tax, am I no longer eligible and or able to use the medical services in Canada?
I saw that one come up there. I actually wrote it down. I put down medical services with a question mark. No, we are the ones that are entitled to medical services. Okay? It's all ours. We own this all. We fund it. Again, the same thing. Every time I buy something, I pay taxes. I'm a contractor. I just had a lumber order for $13,000 2 weeks ago. Do you want to know how much taxes was on that? I paid, holy frick, $1,300 or $1,400 in taxes. You trying to tell me I don't have a right to medical services funded by all that because I refuse to pay money out of my actual earnings after all this? Oh, my God. You're on crack. Anyways, no, income taxes don't fund any of that. We're entitled to that in the first place. It's up to the government to raise the revenue through taxation that is not direct taxation on the people, like importing and exporting tariffs. Are you trying to tell me that because the government made a deal with Walmart that they're not going to pay importing fees anymore? They pay nothing to bring crap from China into Canada. That they shift that burden onto me via income taxes and property taxes? Are you kidding me? No. So, not a chance. Anyways, we pay enough for all this stuff. More than enough. Again, I think I used the example gasoline taxes last time. What, 90%? Gasoline is 7 cents a liter in Venezuela. 7 cents a liter. We pay $1.30 or $1.17 now, maybe even $1.05. Either way, let's just say $1 a liter more than anybody in Venezuela. 90% of that does not go towards what it's supposed to go towards, which is maintaining the roads. They collect billions upon billions upon billions of dollars in gasoline taxes, and less than 10% is used for road maintenance and construction and upgrades? Where's the rest of it? But they don't have enough money without my income taxes and sales taxes and for every other goddamn tax that we pay to fund a hospital that I get the shittiest health care you could possibly imagine at? Give me a break. No. In fact, you don't want to produce a health card when you go to a hospital. No, I'll pay cash. I don't want to use an insurance policy. I want top-notch health care, and I'll pay cash for it. And you better believe that you're going to get better service. It's going to be cheaper than what it would cost you if you used a health care card. So, no. Because, again, foreigners, it's a privilege for foreigners. And that's what residents of Canada are. They're officers. They're taxpayers. They're anything to do with that nonsense, all within their little box. That's all a privilege for those people, right? And they take they're second in line to us. Anyways, next.
Okay, the second part of his question.
Can I interrupt you real quick, Tony?
Sure.
Sorry, and then we'll go back to it. People have to understand, every time you use one of these healthcare cards, it's an insurance policy, okay? That means that there's a billion forms that have to be filled out, and 11 billion people working in offices that have to fill out nonsense and crap to file on up the paperwork to make sure that somebody gets paid at some point. They actually publicize the fact that 90% of healthcare costs is administration because they have to fill out paperwork for insurance policies. No, I'll just pay cash. How about I pay 10% of what you would normally charge and just forget the rest of that horse shit and just treat me? And then they can't charge you cash anyways, which means they got to send you a bill, and, well, we know what to do with their bills. Sign your name to it and send it back into the government. Okay, authorized. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Dog license renewal invoices are now being issued out. Do I have to pay this crap, or is it only for officers and agents of the government / Crown?
Statutes. If God intended your dog to have a license, it would have come with one.
I like that one. Okay.
Are you claiming that one of God's creatures needs a license to exist? What do you smoke, and where do I get it? Because I want to visit that magic pixie land. Do my ants require a license next? Because I don't want them. If I don't license the ants under my front step, will you guys come and dig up my front step and take all the ants and go and kill them at the Humane Society because I haven't licensed all of my ants? I think I have a couple of bees in the backyard that don't have license plates either. Oh, holy shit, there's a squirrel without a license. Get the guns. Get the guns. We can't have that going on. We're going to have anarchy unless every squirrel is licensed. Oh, that deer better have a fucking license, too. There's no collar on that deer. That's it. Round it up and exterminate it. This shit is insane, and it's stupid, and I can't believe that people actually fall for it. Next.
Okay, one thing about this dog thing, though, I mean, they can turn around and say the only reason why a license is needed so we know who the dog is owned by, registered to, so in the event he attacks a child or something.
Well, that would be the decision of the owner, I would guess. But here's the thing, is that they use that for, see, again, they always bring about these things in a manner that's supposed to be a benefit to society. Well, it's a bit, because that, well, if a child gets bit, then that way we know what dog did it. Really, really, if there's a child playing in a park, and a dog runs up and bites it, and then runs off, and is never seen again, what are they going to do? Are they going to take impressions of the bite marks and bring in CSI Miami and then track that dog down to wherever its residence is? All right, this is the crap they try to make you believe to legitimize the stuff they want to bring in, which is always used for a completely different purpose than what they're saying they're bringing it in for. It's absolute nonsense. Well, we're doing it to protect the children and the old people and the disadvantaged. It's going to protect all these people. You don't want to discriminate against children and elderly and disadvantaged people, do you? You sound like one of those free men. Yeah, there you go. We better scare you into giving up more freedoms. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. I'm getting worked up today because it's such crap.
Calm down, Dean. Don't have a heart attack. We need you, buddy. We need you.
It's just nonsense, though. It's the point I'm trying to make. Like, give me a break. The dog license is good. And what if it does lead you back to the dog? Is the dog going to pay a fine for biting the kid or go to jail? What are they going to do, incarcerate the dog or send it to a re-education center where it learns to not bite anymore? Like, come on. Okay.
Okay, next question. Short, sweet, and to the point, this person says. I am self-employed. I have not filed since 2002. I have ignored any and all presentments from CRA. Either I have not responded or just threw the paper in the trash. I have not filed any paperwork to correct my status as of yet. What steps should I take to defeat CRA? How should I handle any further presentments from them? Thanks in advance.
I'm assuming he might be getting offers in the mail, like notices or something like that. Like, notice, you have not filed for the last 3 years or whatever. One of the things I did was when they first started digging around like that with me after about 3-4 years, and they showed up and, oh, well, you know, you haven't filed in 4 years. And I said, who hasn't? You know, and they're like, well, you haven't. I'm like, oh, I didn't know I was obligated to file. Well, you did in past years. I said, well, yeah, but that's in past years. I mean, I got a customer I've done a bunch of work for, but that doesn't mean I do all of his work now. I just decided to stop working for him. So I don't work for you people anymore either. I decided to cease operating the capacity of a taxpayer. I told the guy this, special agent. I think it was Art Riel. Art Riel, how's it going? Maybe one of you guys are listening to it. I probably still have his business card here. But anyways, this is probably going back about 11 years ago now. A special investigator from the Non-Filers and Income Tax Evasion Department, Art Riel. I don't know why I remember that. I can't remember my phone number half the time. So anyways, I just said, I just happened to stop wanting to operate in the capacity of a taxpayer about 5 years ago now. So I'm not a taxpayer anymore, and I don't really want to do business with you guys anymore. I'm done. Well, he threatened me a couple of times. Well, I'm going to charge you with tax evasion. I said, go ahead. I said, if I'm not a taxpayer, what do I care? Well, you'll be hearing from us. I said, no, I don't think I will. Have a nice day. As far as I'm concerned, because I gave him a cup of coffee, that was valuable consideration, which means we now have a binding contractual agreement where they can agree with me that I'm not I'm a non-taxpayer from now on, because they haven't contacted me ever since, ever, not once. Because I'm pretty sure I followed up, I think, with the letter, or it might have been just before that I sent the letter that told them my terms and conditions for performance if they want to keep hiring me. So that's the kind of ways you deal with that. Send back a letter that says, oh, I'm sorry, didn't I send you guys a notice, or didn't I send you guys a reply letting you know that I haven't acted as a taxpayer for 4 or 5 years now, and I have no intention of ever doing it ever again? Sorry. Well, you can consider this your notice now, then, if you didn't receive my last correspondence. What can they say to that? Nothing. But then if they want to come back and see, they're the ones that'll always up the ante. They'll come back and they'll be a little nastier, and then you can be a little nastier. Right, and always, and again, even on the documents you're going to be sending them, when you sign something, qualify it. Qualify who you are under your signature. And that, then you want to know who you are. And so there's no mistaking who you are. Your little initials, like LLB for a lawyer, limited liability barrister or whatever, or LLP, limited liability practitioner, or whatever the hell it is. That's right under your name. There's no mistaking it now. There's no presumptions, conclusions they can draw other than the ones that you've told them. They have to get everything from you. Everything. So start with doing all that kind of stuff. And then they say, well, no, you're required to file. Oh, really? I'm required to file? What? Tell me more. What else am I required to do? Right? Just like cops do when they pull you over. Have anything else you want to say? Right? Do anything? What would lead you to believe that I'm required to do anything for you people? Oh, and by the way, don't send me any more letters that don't have a signature on it. I do not respond to unsigned letters because that means they're free of liability, which means you're blowing smoke up my ass. I don't care. If you send me something with no signature, I will not reply to it. And it is not considered like no reply or whatever the hell it is, or defaulting me because I don't reply to unsigned nonsense. So, I mean, take your pick of how you want to deal with that, but everything they're doing is just little fishing expeditions. They're just kind of sending letters out there, and, right? It's all automated anyways. There's no signatures on anything, just automated. It's in their system. Oh, the computer just automatically sends that out. I got told that by the rural municipality lately told me that. Oh, the computer just sends those out. I said, well, from where? Well, I don't know, from somewhere. I said, oh, so because some computer somewhere sends something out, a liability is placed on me? Really? What an incredible statement. Right? Unfortunately, these people are far too ignorant to actually understand what that really means. But, yeah, take it up a step. If they contact you again after you inform them that you're not a taxpayer, you're not going to act in that office anymore, I refuse to occupy the office of taxpayer from now on. I refuse. I'm under no obligation to. I've not seen any facts or evidence that demonstrates that I'm obligated to. And I challenge you to produce any evidence to the contrary, or facts, proof of claim. Second time, send the reply to the commissioner. And tell them if you hear from them again, without them offering up proof of claim, that you're going to fine them. tell them you're going to contact the Postmaster General for mail fraud because they're trying to solicit you through the mail without your against your wishes. You told them to cease. They keep doing it. Now they're threatening you, making false claims through the mail using the postal system. That's mail fraud. Any number of things you can do. Have fun with it. God, I don't know, come up with something really neat and let me know what it was and what reaction it got.
Okay, Dean, I'm going to move on to the next one.
Yep.
Okay, caller on the air with from area code 786 ending in 7702. Your mic is live.
Yes.
Please give us your name.
Lauren.
Ron, you have a question for Dean.
Yes, hi, Dean. How are you? I'm kind of new to this, but I just had one question. You said in one video that a beneficiary is entitled to taxes, if I understood correctly. Can you kind of simplify this and explain how one goes about this?
Absolutely. Okay. It's the same thing as owning stock in a company, right? The dividends. Who receives the dividends from a stock?
Stockholder?
The stockholder, because the stockholder is the beneficiary of the investment, right?
Right.
Okay, if I'm renting you my car on the terms and conditions that you pay me $500 a month in lease payments, who's the beneficiary of that lease payment?
Sorry, I'm not sure, but...
Me. I own the car. You're paying me.
The owner, okay.
Yeah, right? I'm the beneficiary of it. If I sign a contract with you that says, well, that's my car, and I'm going to grant it to you for your use, you're the tenant of my car, you're the lessee, you're leasing it, but I want your payments to go to Mr. X and provide you with an address to contact Mr. X and send the $500 payment to him. Who's the beneficiary of that agreement?
Yeah, the Mr. X.
Yeah, except there's different types of beneficiaries. You get the beneficial use of the property, the car, but it's conditional that you pay $500 to somebody else. Right? So it all
right.
It's all perspective. It's all depends on which party you are. Right? To you, you're the beneficiary because you got beneficial use of the car, but it's on the condition that you maintain that $500 a month payment. This is all just contract law. That's why I suggest that people read books on contracting and just understanding these concepts. All sorts of different people are different types of beneficiaries in the same agreement. Right? It depends on which part of the agreement you're talking about. You get beneficial use of the car, and I get the benefit of the payment. I'm the grantor of the car. You're holding it in trust, and you've got beneficial use as long as you abide by the terms. You're the tenant of the car. You're the tenant of my home, as long as you make the rent payments. And that's a very big point, by the way, that that people, anytime we're talking about property taxes, I think we talked before that the government views you as the tenant of the house. Well, that means you're not the owner and you have no right to be there. You only have conditional use of that property. So does that clear that up?
Oh, absolutely. But
yeah.
I'm definitely going to look into reading more books about contracting.
Yeah, contract law books.
Okay, thanks
yeah,
a lot, Ron. I hope that satisfies your curiosity, and I believe you sent me that same question by email, and the funny thing is I was just going to get to it after this call.
Yeah,
okay,
cancel your cable or your satellite subscription, get rid of your TV, or use it for movies, and the $100 a month you would spend on your cable subscription, order a couple of contract law books, and then order an international law book, and then order some other books after that. Paid for by what normally would have gone to mindless drivel that's designed to make you half retarded. And then start to read. Get back to doing this interesting thing they used to do called reading, where people learned. Right? Read things that smart people wrote, and you will be smarter for having read it. Those kind of
simple
things.
Yeah, is
there any... Okay.
Can Google to look into, like, to look more into this particular topic?
Oh, absolutely. Trust law. Again, I brought that up last time. I can't remember the gentleman's name. I meant to order the book, and I was going to read it one time. But really, you could just Google certain terms like trusts, and then look up all the different type of trusts that exist, and then read through all those different types just to get a grasp and get your head wrapped around trust law and what trust law actually is, and all sorts of different types of trust. And you've got to remember, a trust is whatever you construct it to be. It's got loose definitions and loose rules. Right?
Right.
And it all depends on what the agreement of the parties is. Like, if you have, if there's a trust relationship between you and the government, well, there'll be certain rules, because government has certain rules that they have to abide by. But if just privately speaking, two people enter into some kind of a trust agreement, and that's all a contract is as well, by the way. If I, you and I have just entered into a trust agreement. If I lease you my car, I trust you're going to make the payments to me. That's a trust relationship. You're holding the car in trust on the condition you pay me monthly payments. Okay?
Right.
It's a very basic form of trust. I mean, there's not really like a common structure. It's not like there's multiple parties in this now that have to be concerned with what's going on. It's just you and me. It's a two-party agreement, and you better live up to it, or I'm going to come take the car back.
Okay, so I'm going to have to interrupt you guys here. We need to move on because we're down to 13 minutes. We've got a lot of questions to go through. Ron, thanks for coming on and asking me a question. I hope that satisfied you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Next caller, area code 306, ending in 2228.
Yay, Saskatchewan.
All right. Welcome to Saskatchewan. Your name, please.
Hi, I'm Marie.
Hi, Marie. You're on the air, and you can ask your question to Dean.
Hi, Dean. It's nice to talk to you.
Hello.
Can you please tell me how a person can go about not filing income tax without going to court or jail?
Oh, boy.
I'm self-employed, and I can't afford the time away.
Well, that's what they rely on as well, right? That's the fear-mongering. It's not for the faint at heart, but there is solutions to this. Now, you got to remember also, I've helped somebody in Saskatchewan that went through this and did wind up going to jail, and they made all the proper arguments, and they beat the courts five different times. But the government kept coming back. You got to remember, they don't like us making a big public spectacle about this, because we wake up the other slaves. They don't like us waking up their slaves. So your best – see, now this is where the other approach comes in that I was trying to teach people about, and this is something you can go back and do this any time, so it doesn't matter. Take your time and learn this, because everything that gets paid into trust is collectible again on the other side, right? You got to remember, there's even case law on this in Canada – that CRA operates as a bank. That's all they really are, is a bank, which means they're collecting from one party and paying out to another. Have you listened to some of the other shows when we talk about who owns the person and who the principal is and who all the interest is due to?
Well, actually, I'm just getting into it now, so I'm just starting out, but I got my first request to file a return in the mail the other day, and, you know, I'm kind of concerned.
Okay, now, do you have deductions off of your paycheck normally?
Well,
or are you probably, like, independently contracted where there's no deductions?
It gets kind of complicated because I'm self-employed as well as having a different day job. So
okay.
I kind of have my hand in two things.
Ah, good. So you already have a very very broad understanding then of capacity already, which is great. I would, if you, now this is up to you. I mean, you can usually get away with not filing for about 3 years before they really start to get pretty serious, which is a long time to learn. If you need any more than 2 or 3 months to get to grasp some of these concepts and get even mildly proficient at it, you're going to have a real hard time.
Is there anything I can do? My day job requires my attention, but my self-employment, I can listen to MP3s the whole time I'm working. So is there anywhere that you can recommend I go to listen, to download MP3s to get information?
Oh, man, that's a
good
question. That's a good question. I mean, I'm not even responsible for uploading my stuff. I'm so computer illiterate that it's sickening. I get to, I have other people do that. That might be a good question for Tony. I don't even know how to turn those into MP3s. I'm sure there's a way.
If you could, I could get it through iTunes.
Actually, Marie, I think what Dean's trying to tell you here, if you go to our archive file, the archive shows from previous episodes, you can download them as an MP3.
Yep.
Okay.
Any one of our archive shows, underneath the main show window, there's a link that says download to your computer or something like that.
Yep.
And you click on that, and it saves it on your computer as an MP3, then from there you can upload it to your iPhone or your device and listen to it anytime you want.
Okay,
and I'm also being reminded here to direct people to the website and to the forum, because the website has the links to, I think, every video that's ever been posted online. And I think we're going to be putting the Toronto one up soon that's never been released. There's 16 hours on there. And when I go back and I think about it, and I went through this ad nauseum with people, Marie, I explained this entire system to them about what's going on, and it was actually so bang on that I'm even shocked that I explained it that well a year ago. I look, think back, and I'm like, damn, I couldn't have been more right back than a year ago. So I got to get that out, I think, to people. If you can actually like sit through me talking for 16 hours, I can't. I can't listen to me for any more than 10 minutes. But go through the videos. Watch them. And don't do anything that you don't feel comfortable doing. Don't do what I did, and that's run out and cause a whole bunch of problems right at the get-go to force yourself to learn fast. And don't worry about filing. If you are going to file, just make sure you qualify your signature. And underneath your signature, just put restricted signature and put a box around your signature. And that way that even if you do send an income tax in return, a return in, your signature is boxed out, so the exclusion rule applies. And you made it a special signature, a restricted signature for certain purposes only, and that's yet to be disclosed. So you can go back at any time and say, oh, I thought you knew I was the grantor, so I want to know where my check is. Things like that. You're setting them up now for down the road, and you're leaving that all open now for you to go back and clarify later. And those are really cool things you can start to do now, where you start to mess with them in their own world.
Okay, so if I would leave it for 3 years, does that mean if I decide not to proceed with this, am I going to be responsible to go back and pay the income tax from the previous 3 years?
Yep. If you're gonna get conned into going back and being a taxpayer again, then you might end up owing some fines and have to pay some money. Yep.
Huh.
But it shouldn't take you any more than a couple of months to become comfortable enough with this to go, you know what? I think I'm just going to opt out. I mean, start fishing with them. When they send you a notice there, well, hey, it's that time of year again to file. Just like I said to the last guy, send something back now. Start toying with them and say, you know what, actually, I thought about it, guys, and I don't want to be a taxpayer anymore. I'm not comfortable being a taxpayer. Go back and listen to the same audio that we're recording tonight and that Tony's going to have up online afterwards, and you can send back something saying, yeah, you know what, actually, it turns out I'm under no obligation to occupy the office known as taxpayer within your organization. And since there's no obligation, that means it's voluntary, which means that I have the right to attach terms and conditions to my performance. Here's my terms and conditions. And then you can learn what the person is, and you start to learn that you own the person. And then you're going to be the one going back and starting to collect on everything that is due. It's all owed to you because you're the one that actually owns it.
Okay, now last year I was also told that I was required to submit GST because I went over the $30,000 mark with my personal income from my self-employment. And so since then I've been having to collect GST. Is that something I'm also able to opt out of, collecting
GST? Absolutely.
GST?
I think that got brought up earlier, gentlemen, actually said that, where that was absolutely the case. All you have to do is say, no, you show me the law where I'm obligated to be a tax collector for you. Nothing can obligate you to collect taxes. I don't care what they say that, after you make this amount of money per year, you are obligated to start collecting taxes for us. Really? Would it be any different? What would you say to me, Marie, if I showed up at your house and I asked you what you made last year and you actually, for some reason, answered me and said, oh, I made $50,000 a year. And I said, I got this little piece of paper right here that says if you make more than 30, you have to start collecting the Dean Clifford tax. We'll call it the DCT. And I provide you with a bunch of fancy-looking paperwork that says you must do all this or I'll take you to court. It's essentially what they're doing. It's no different. They just have an awful lot more money and fancier jails behind them, right? People with guns and stuff. Yeah, I know, but that's the fear. You know what I mean? It's no more legitimate. That's the first thing you have to understand. It's no more legitimate. So the same questions apply. Doesn't matter how many guns or jails they have. The question is, who are you? Why do I care about that piece of paper? And what obligates me to do anything for you? And what obligates me to do it for free? And I can tell you right now, they're having a lot of trouble with the people that are starting to contact them back now and saying, hey, I'll tell you what. I have no problem collecting this tax for you. I think that's great. Here's my terms and conditions. it's going to cost me 90% of what I collect to administrate your tax in payroll, office space, paper clips, paper, staples, photocopier time, electricity, and profit margin. I have to make money off what you're forcing me to do. So it's going to cost me 90% of what I collect to administrate your tax. So I'm going to send a filing in once a year letting you know how much I collect, how much I've deducted, which is the 90%. You're not going to bother adding up and justifying the expenses. You're just telling them, I'm going to do this for you, but it's for 90% of what I collect, and I'm going to remit 10% to you. That's my only counteroffer. If you're not agreeable to this, I'd be more than happy to not collect your tax at all. So instead of 10%, you're getting zero. I'm just as okay with that. There's people that have done that now. GST can't do anything about it. What
right?
can they do?
I don't know. They have the keys, right?
Well, that's just
and
it.
The courtroom,
so they
like
can never
said,
justify
so.
Their position that they're unwilling to compensate you for collecting their tax. We will not pay you for a duty that we've imposed on you. Really. I think they call that involuntary servitude. If I just showed up at your house and I said, hey, you, come with me. You're mowing my lawn. Whoa, hey, no, I don't want to mow your lawn. You're mowing my lawn. Well, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll come mow your lawn, but you're going to pay me $100. I ain't paying you nothing. And if you don't come and mow my lawn right now, I'm going to lock you up under my stairs. I'm going to feed you dog crap for a week until you sign a document that justifies everything I've done to you and you agree to finally mow my lawn for free, because that's all they're doing. And all you have to do is literally walk into court and talk like that. And it scares the hell out of them because it's the truth. It's the truth. You're just making it obvious. That's all it is.
Okay, guys, we're down to 2 minutes here. And,
yeah.
Dean, I just want to ask you, are you willing to go overtime?
Ah, sure. I'm kind of on a bit of a roll here tonight. I'm kind of worked up now. But I think
okay,
the point I'm trying to get across... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Then let me inform everybody, all our callers, the people who called in, don't worry. Once the top of the hour comes around, you'll still be able to ask your questions. People who are logged into the chat room, who are listening to the show, one in about another minute and 50 seconds, the live stream will be cut. You will no longer hear this, but it will be archived. You'll be able to listen to it later. The other option you have is to call into the show, and you can continue listening to this live. Go ahead, Dean.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind Marie staying on there if she's still on.
Yeah,
Marie's
still
on, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, I get all uppity about this, and but the thing is, it's truth. It's no more true because the government's doing it than if I'm doing it. The only difference is they've got more guns and they've got courts. But it makes them look just as ridiculous when you walk into court, if they ever try to take you there for any of these matters, and you do some of the very minor things we talked about tonight, which is things like, well, I'm here by special appearance, which means I'm here, but I don't consent to the rules of the jurisdiction of this court. I'm just here because basically I was commanded to appear here. So,
yeah, it seems like the wording is really has to be particular. Is there somewhere a person can go to learn how to do the wording correctly so that they don't?
Well, that's really one of the only
foul
traps. Yeah, actually, unfortunately, a lot of it is if there was sources you could go to, people would have stopped paying income taxes 60 years ago. Right, they do a very good job of making sure that everything is cleansed or worded in a way that you'll never understand, or they just ridicule our entire movement. Or again, people are always asking me, well, where's the case law that supports this? If somebody's won, and there's somebody out there, like me, that hasn't filed in 16 or 17 years now, well, there'd be some evidence of that, right? Every person I know of that has ever won, the way they won is because they went to court and they said things like this, and right away the judge stays proceedings, or the crown withdraws, or they find some deficiency in the crown. Oh, crown, it looks like you didn't date Form C properly. I'm going to have to dismiss, blah. You know, that's the kind of tricks they pull to make sure that there's no court record of you knowing what's going on, and they had to withdraw, or they lost. It'll never carry forward to where there's going to be a determination where someone will say, bam, here's the case where this guy won on these arguments. It'll never go that far. They'll make sure it disappears long before that.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Is there some way to get a hold of you if I need more information, if I decide to
leave this? Absolutely. There's a website and a forum where we're trying to get everybody to go to that now, because that way I only have to answer questions once, and then there's an archive of it. Prior to Tony and I trying to get some kind of a little training thing out coming in the new year for just people like you that are just getting started and would like to know, just where do I start? Basic concepts, little things I can do to kind of build up my confidence level. And that's actually what it turns out to be, is confidence level. In the end, they're going to scare you. The guy in Saskatchewan I was just talking about, in the end, what ended up happening is fifth or sixth court appearance, after he'd already beaten them five or six times and all the charges had already been stayed four or five different times, he finally got threatened into accepting and consenting to being fingerprinted. Fear. The fear got to him. As soon as he consented to being fingerprinted, bam! Jurisdiction was granted. Then they put him through the ringer. Right? So it's all tricks. And even then, there was more to it than that. They really wanted to take this guy down because he was high profile, very well known in the common law movement, if you want to call it that, like another Russ Perisky from Paradigm Group, right? They really, they'll actually break the law willingly and knowingly and risk being liable for what they're doing to high profile people, to make examples of them, to make sure they've scared everybody else into compliance. Unfortunately, that's a sad reality. I had a judge tell me that to my face in front of five witnesses at a hearing for that particular individual, where he finally just leaned forward and said, look, we break the law every day and we get away with it. Do you really think you can ever hold us accountable? That was a closed hearing and there's no transcripts of it. It never happened. But I can tell you right now, they said that to my face. And that was the only thing in that hearing that was said that actually shocked me, that they were that blatant about it. It was just like saying, look, we'll just take you out back and shoot you. We don't care. It was almost the equivalent to that. Obviously, that's not the case, though. They don't do that kind of stuff. I think Tony and I talked on previous episodes. There's never been a better time in history to fight for your rights, because the worst thing they can do is throw you in jail for a couple of months. And I can tell you right now, the only thing that's going to happen to you when you come back out after 2 months is you're going to appreciate freedom that much more. And that's probably going to make you want to fight harder for freedom.
Yeah, that would probably do it. Might makes right, right?
There you go. Yeah, and that really annoys me when that's the only argument people have left is, well, we'll just harm you. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, at least now you're being honest. At least now I know what type of alleged society I live in. Because once the smoke and the mirrors and the bullshit are all gone, you'll just harm me. Thank you for admitting that. Now at least we can deal in honesty. Now you're just a guy with a gun mugging me. Now we know.
I noticed that you had a website coming up, deanclifford.ca, is it?
.info. .info.
Oh, .info, okay.
Yeah, I think the .ca right was eventually going to link to the .info. The .info is up and running. There's a forum on there. We usually require people, cough up 10 or 15 bucks. Minimum to get on the forum, just to help pay for the forum, eventually help to pay the guy who runs the site and is going to be expanding it so that he can quit his job and do it full time and get out of the system as well. There's all sorts of projects coming up. I really just want to try to educate people. Again, we want a better world here, and we want people. I mean, you kind of sound like you're the everyday people that we need getting involved. You're not like most of us left-wing nutcases who just want to fight just because. So.
Oh, I hope you're doing it for a better cause than just because. Sounds
no,
like
I really am. I just don't. I don't like people being picked on. I really don't. And I don't like. I like truth. You know, I like being honest. People being honest with me. Don't blow smoke up my ass with these acts and statutes. Let's just get right down to it and tell me you're robbing me. But they'll never do that, and they'll never want you back in the courtroom ever again. As soon as you start exposing that.
Okay, can we move on to the next caller?
I guess so, but come and check out the forum, join the forum, listen to all the Global Fact Radio episodes, put them on MP3, watch all the videos online. John the Human, I think Eternally Rare is another good guy to listen to, and Mark Stevens, those kind of guys, and you're getting a broad range of information, and you can kind of pick and choose which approach you want to go with. And those are some of the guys that I like. Winston Strout, if you're really smart, and you can understand Winston, he's a great guy to listen to. But he confused me for the first 4 years I listened to him.
Well, my only thing is getting the wording correct.
Yes.
So if there's some place I can get the wording correct, I'd feel a lot better.
Well, actually, to be honest with you, the wording comes after you have the understanding, because then the wording just comes to you, right? And that's almost difficult, right? Like, don't worry about the wording. Just go in there, and it'll flow through you. It'll just come. It'll be in your own words, and that's how they're going to know that you understand, because it's going to be in a normal candor that's not out of character for you. You're not going to be nervous. You're just going to say it like it is, and it's in your own words.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's effective, not saying the proper, not chanting the proper magical phrase. That's not what does it. Right? It's not a magic phrase you have to chant, tapping the top of your head, spinning your belly while turning counterclockwise and jumping up and down on one foot, right? While chanting the magic phrase. That's not what does it. And that's what learning, pre-learning automated responses is. That means there's no understanding, right? Like you're just a monkey pushing buttons at that point. And all they have to do is get you to push the buttons in the wrong sequence and you're going to jail.
No, I was just wondering, because you said to make sure you've got the initials underneath your box name and everything. I mean, some things do matter, right?
Oh, some things do. Well, that's because you don't understand the rules of the game they're trying to get you involved in. And that's the other thing, too, is you could just not play the game at all. But unfortunately, we're kind of there right now. We already got ourselves into the game.
But also, Marie, the logistics, for example, the initials under the name, that kind of stuff is what will be disclosed in the courses that Dean and I are going to be coming up with here shortly. Which you pay a monthly membership and you get kind of like an online university, I guess, if you want, for lack of better words, where you get all this step by step and how to do it.
Yeah, and I call the last part you were just talking about there. I call that qualifying your signature, which means you're restricting it for special purposes, which means that they can't just assume who you are. That's all that means. It's actually just like a little little trick, if you want to call it that, that you can use to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You always got to protect yourself commercially. Remember, this is commerce, and we're not taught commerce. So they've got us dabbling in a game we've never been taught that we didn't even know was going on. That's the scam. So we just got to learn it now, and that's what we're trying to just ease into it. That's all I can say. Ease into it. Don't do anything you're not comfortable doing.
And listen, like Dean suggested, listen to all the Global Fact How To with Dean Clifford episodes. This is episode 8. There's 7 prior to this. There's a lot of information that was covered in those shows. Download them as MP3. Some people email me and they say they listen to one show 4 or 5 times for each episode.
Oh, my.
Because there's a lot of information being given. You need to kind of digest it all.
Yeah.
It's a new way of thinking, right, Marie?
Yeah.
So it's almost like using a new muscle. Like the first time you work out, you go to the gym. Your sores are really... how much weight can you lift? Right, you're sore as hell for a couple of days, and then you get back, you're like, oh, the second time around you can lift more weight, and you're not as sore afterwards, and then it takes a couple of months to really get into bodybuilding. The brain is no different. They've made sure your brain has been shut off for your entire life. It's just all your brain understands is gobbledygook and stuff that comes out on TV. You haven't used your logic and your reasoning centers for probably most of your entire adult life.
Well, we haven't had television for a long time, so that should make you happy.
There you go. So you're already there. You're a couple of days into the bodybuilding already now.
Yeah,
right?
I'm big on logic and reasoning, actually. I study that quite a bit already. So.
Excellent. The people that have logic and reasoning abilities, you almost don't need much training in court. You can make them look like fools just using simple logic and deductive reasoning. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it actually does. Yeah, I've done that. Lost some friends over it, but I've done it.
Yes, and I tell people that. I used to tell that to people at all the seminars in advance. I would warn them. I'd say caution. Learning common law is addictive, and you'll never be able to have a normal conversation with people ever again, and you'll get bored of some of your current friends, and you will never be able to speak to them ever again. You'll probably lose a lot of your friends. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to have to move on to the next caller now. Marie, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Welcome aboard. Hope to see you on the forum. Let's get some learning accomplished.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Good luck, Marie.
Thank you.
All right. Next caller from, I believe that will be Alberta, area code 403. Oh, he just dropped off. All right.
Oh, crap.
Area code. Oh no, there he is. Actually, he's back. 43228 ending 5333.
Hi there, it's Herman.
Herman,
how you doing, guys?
How you doing?
Doing well. Couple of questions here. First one is the City of Calgary as a corporation also functioning as a bank? Because my thought here was, if I can go after CRA for back taxes that they've collected as a creditor and as the grantor, can I not also go back after the City of Calgary for property taxes paid in the past?
I would say absolutely to that. As to whether or not the City of Calgary itself is a bank, that would be an excellent topic for discussion. I would love to have with somebody sometime. For the most part, though, let's just assume that they're a corporate and or political commercial zone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They don't represent a landmass anywhere, really. They're a commercial zone. They don't
But they bond their bond their officers. They
yep.
bond their vehicles. They're
yep.
functioning. So they're functioning in a lot of ways the way a bank would, or the way a provincial or federal government would.
Absolutely, and they're a subdivision of them, and they deal exclusively in securities.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that's correct. They're probably involved in literally just banking because they're a commercial zone. That's it,
mm-hmm.
right? Whether or not they fall within the definition of a bank the same way that CRA does, that's debatable. But either way, they're a commercial zone, no different than a sales territory for Coca-Cola over the same commercial zone. They have no more authority on the land than Coca-Cola does. It's a simple commercial zone that you enter into by contract.
Okay. My other question would be, I'm trying to get my sister on board. We co-own a house together. And so my plan here was I have not paid the taxes for this year, and I was going to start an administrative procedure by issuing them letters through a public notary here, indicating that I'm essentially asking them to provide proof that they actually have the right or the jurisdiction to actually come after me as a private individual.
Yes,
I'm trying
by
to get
what
around,
authority?
Yeah, by what authority? I'm trying to get them to establish that. And my sister just isn't quite on board. And I wanted to know if there was a Freenan light concept that I could sort of introduce her to that she can actually sort of begin to grasp the basics on, because she's sort of a promoter personality. She's sort of she's really not interested in the details, and she's so stuck in that sort of mentality. And so I'm trying to present a handful of options to her that would actually allow us to go forward with what I want to do, rather than turn around and just pay the tax and then try to collect it back from them later.
Yeah, because, again, you've entered into a contractual relationship with somebody where you own property, which means you both pretty much have to come to a decision on something, right, that you're both okay with when it comes to this. You can't just force your will on her if she just wants to obey kind of thing. But honestly, I mean, if you just generally bring up the topics and say, look, just give me like half a year to play around with this, and the worst case is that we owe a small fine on top of the property taxes when we have to pay next year.
Okay.
Right? We owe some interest payments or something like that. But give me six weeks, or just wait to see if they reply to this. If they don't reply and they can't even produce the source of authority, right, and simple definitions, like you can show her a definition that says, look here, I told them that we own this property, fee simple absolute, which means free of condition, and property taxes are a condition of ownership, meaning just for owning something, I have to pay to keep it. That is inconsistent with the common law. So how could that possibly be? These are simple arguments that win over most people. And say, so look, why don't we just contact these people and say, look, it's my understanding that you can't tax us just because we own something. You have to have standing. We own this property fee simple absolute. Are you disputing that? The definition of fee simple absolute is free of condition. If you're not disputing that we are the owners and we own it fee simple absolute, then who are you to place a condition on the ownership of that property? If you can't answer any of these questions, cease and desist immediately, or we will fine you and we will sue you. We will file a statement of claim against you.
Mm-hmm.
And name somebody. Name like the chief financial officer of the City of Calgary.
Yeah, all right.
right? So, I mean, almost anybody would be agreeable to something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, that all makes sense. Okay, yeah, let's see what kind of answer they come up with for something like that, right? And unfortunately, if you can't win over your business partner, sister or not, they're your business partner on this deal, you're stuck paying property taxes until you buy her out.
Okay.
So,
well, thank
you. If the worst thing in your life is you have to pay some property taxes on a rental property, you're not doing too bad.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay, Herman.
Thanks a lot.
I hope that answers. You're welcome, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Talk to you guys soon. Again.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
Okay, our next caller is Captain 877. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. This is Captain 877, and I pulled my ship into berth on the waterway in the Republic of Canada, on a waterway known as Lake Ontario. Would that sound like an accurate statement?
Possibly. Depending on what situation we're talking about, okay.
Well, you were mentioning earlier regarding taking over something earlier, and I was a little confused because, you know, sometimes I'm a little that way.
Yeah, it sounds like you're probably talking about the definition of Canada, where it includes the territorial sea and the internal waterways of Canada.
Yes,
that's the part?
There's two Canadas, right? There's the one that belongs to whoever, and then the real one where our family was born on the waterways of this Turtle Island.
Yes. Well, there actually is an unlimited number of Canadas if you want to start getting into that kind of stuff. And to be honest with you, I don't even know how many different types of Canadas there are. I mean, it's a bit confusing. I mean, even just the other day, somebody finally sent me something that I found really interesting, that in 1893, Queen Victoria got rid of Section 2 of the British North America Act and ended hereditary rule. There is no more crown. There is no more actual real queen. There's nothing. There's only the Crown Corporation, which means the BNA Act isn't even in force or effect anymore. There's nothing here. Nothing. There's no law. There's no anything other than contract between the parties. So there's no law. Now, there is one Canada that's been registered in Washington, D.C. that was done by Trudeau, I think, in 1977. That's one Canada. It's listed on the Securities Exchange Commission or whatever the hell it is, the SEC. And you can access that through the EDGAR system down the States. And you can find that Canada. It does Securities Exchange Commission filings once a year. They're listed as an agricultural company with 400,000 employees and net revenue of X amount of money.
Wow.
I've read it. It's there. You can't dispute it. I mean, they have filings down in Washington of how much money they make.
Wow.
Right, that's only one Canada. I don't even know how many other ones there may or may not be. That's the odd thing about it. We just don't even know. We don't even know what we don't know when it comes to that.
Right. Let's say you were a captain and you were a real vessel pulling into port, if you had a dispute with another merchant or whatever, would you go to Superior Court or just a regular civil court?
Well, for that, you may want to consider admiralty jurisdiction, which my understanding is, and I could be wrong, maybe somebody wants to correct me, is that it's federal court. Federal court is pure admiralty jurisdiction, which is equity. And that's any court of chancery.
Okay. A court of chancery? Okay.
Yeah, that's chancery. That's equity.
Okay.
And that'd be admiralty, which is the law of contracts on the high seas, I guess, if you want to call it. But that's all commerce is.
Yeah.
The holy sea of commerce. Anytime you're in commerce, you're in equity, in admiralty law.
Okay. That's good and interesting. That would be a good thing for chat, eh?
Yeah, well, that's where your vessel is. That's where your person is. Your person operates exclusively in that holy sea above the land.
Yeah, it switched on for me yesterday. I've been trying to get this into my head. I'm 65, you know, I'm a little old.
Well, congratulations for being open-minded at that age, because I think 45 is about when your memory becomes crystallized and you're not open to change very easily.
Well, I had a few things like I met some really good people on YouTube, and I actually went from 285 pounds with 8 diseases to 0 disease by using God's medicine off the earth and just simple things that your grandmother used, you know?
Isn't it amazing the way that works? And that's the way the law movement's going back. We're going right back to the beginning, right back to basics. We're getting out of these silly arguments, and we're going right back to square one. And that seems to work for some reason.
Yeah, and I feel that the only, you know, true way to be at the what God wanted was his son Jesus has to be in your heart. Otherwise, you're doomed no matter what, you know?
I couldn't agree with you more on that statement, actually.
Well, sir, I just appreciate that, too.
Thank you. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Okay,
well, my
Captain
father was a sailor, so I'm following in his footsteps.
Yeah. Nice.
Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Thanks for calling in, Captain. All right, our next caller is Chris. Chris, you there?
Hello. I am. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Hello? Hey, guys. How you doing?
Not too bad.
Hey, Dean, I just got a question for you, just about my personal situation. I just received a letter, a request to file from the CRA, and I just wasn't sure. What would you do? Would you respond to that, or... There was no name or anything like that attached to it, just a blanket letter. It was a request.
Yeah, I think we probably touched on this about the same scenario about 4 times tonight.
I got to it late today.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not a problem because that is the theme for tonight's show. But it is a fishing expedition. And if you want, you can ignore that until they start to get a little bit more serious and start to maybe issue some threats and send you a notice. Hey.
Right.
Hey, notice we're not kidding around anymore. You are required to.
Right.
Right. It's no longer a you want to file, buddy? Now it's a hey, you're filing. Now you say, "Oh, hey, sorry. I thought you guys got my reply there that I wasn't acting in the capacity of a taxpayer anymore. I haven't been for several years now." Right? I haven't seen any evidence or been presented with any facts or a proof of claim that I am a taxpayer or that I'm obligated to be a taxpayer. So until you
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, am I under any obligation to have to let them know this in advance?
Well,
say, hey.
Here's the problem. There's a bit of an operation at law going right now. You kind of did it in the past, right? You signed up for the social insurance number. You identified yourself as a resident.
Right.
You declared your office, which is your residence.
Mm-hmm.
So all their records point to your office as being
the
taxpayer's office. Okay, so then we go back to the Hammurabi Code again. I love that one because it was one of the first ones regarding this period. As it was done, so it shall be undone. Whatever you did, undo it. The obligation's on you.
So then it says your obligation is made by words. You have to dissolve it by words. If it's in writing, you have to dissolve it in writing. Is that the idea?
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Apparently I gave some misleading information on my social insurance number application because you guys seem to think that I'm the accounts payable office. That was a mistake. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please alter your records to show that this is not the office of the taxpayer and that I am not occupying the office of taxpayer. Find somebody else.
Okay, that's awesome. Well,
right,
really
what are they going to like? What are they going to say to that? No, you
well,
have to be.
You know, yeah, no, and you know, I'm really firm on the logic of the approach and bringing it right down to that whole Socratic, you know, just asking questions like Mark Stevens and you know what facts or evidence do you have that you know the code is applicable to you know someone and I get it's just the starting point like at what point do you you know you have to I didn't want to jump the gun but if it's serious, would there be a name attached to it, like somebody I would be able to respond to? Because that is just a blanket letter. I was just thinking, like, what do you do with this?
First time should be just a general notice that's sent in, right?
Yeah.
And because they can't send out signed letters to 4 million Canadians that haven't filed. So it's like an onion, right? There's going to be layers of resistance. And as you build your way up, you're going to start to get to people with names. They're going to be signing things.
Right.
Where you're going to be able to say, excuse me, are you threatening me with physical harm if I don't do something free of charge? Like, what are you trying to say here? It's my understanding there's only two possibilities here. I'm either free, a free man to do whatever I want, to contract with anybody I want, under any terms and conditions, or I'm in chains and I'm picking cotton. Which one is it? There's only two options here. Which one are you saying is the case right now? Are you saying I'm your slave and I better get back to picking cotton? Or are you saying that I'm free and I can choose who I contract with under what terms and conditions? The only two possibilities. Choose wisely.
It doesn't get much simpler than that, does it?
It doesn't get any simpler than that. And wait till you get a name. Wait till you get a name.
Yeah, okay.
And I would badger people for ID. Sam, I will not reply to anybody until I've got two pieces of government ID, because you could be anybody. You could be anybody. You could be a home. I said that to a justice one time. I said, excuse me, I need to see two pieces of government ID. I have no idea who you are. Well, I'm clearly a judge. I said, you're not clearly anything. You could have been some homeless guy they found out back at the courthouse and put a robe on him and said, here, get the fuck in there. You're a judge today. I don't know who you are. I have to qualify you. I need some ID. I need to see your credentials. I want to know you are who you say you are, because there's a legal maxim that says you ought to know with whom you deal. So if I don't, if I do not qualify you and make sure that I know who you are, then I've assumed all liability.
That's amazing. Yeah, you know, it means that the maxims alone, I mean, you were the one who introduced me to that, and that alone has been eye-opening, and the maxim of equity also. And
aren't they unbelievable just to read those?
You know, you look at this thing and you think, like, how can you fight this? If you keep it at bases level, with the most, like you said, the simpler it gets, there's less things to hide behind. And the truth has
that's
there,
it. Keep it,
right,
keep
there
it simple, stupid. KISS, K-I-S-S.
Yeah. I can't thank you enough for everything you're doing, and I really appreciate it and wish you all the very best. And thanks for taking my call, man.
We're all in the same fight together. We all just want to be free and on an even playing field.
Absolutely, man. Well, all the best to you and yours, man. Thanks so much.
All right, have a good year, brother. Hey, sign up at the forum if you get a chance. We're going to be discussing
I am on your webpage right now, man. I'm on it right now. So
lovely.
Thanks so much, man. Take
care. All right, have a good night.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, one last one. It's Warren. Warren, your mic's live.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Sorry for calling back again. I just found out about him a couple days ago. But by the way, your forum, how do I sign up? I didn't really see when I clicked onto it, I didn't see a button on how you sign.
There's a notice that was put up about the members community forum, because there will be more videos and more blogs going up on the website. I've just been really busy over the new year, so I'm going to get to put more stuff up on the website that's free. When it comes to the forum, we're asking that people put up a minimum $10-$15 donation just to help maintain the site, and there's going to be things coming up in the new year that all the money's being held in trust, by the way. It's all sitting there in a bank account. What's going to happen is I want to fund projects that we're going to launch in the new year that's really going to interest a lot of people. And we're going to unveil those sometime, I think, probably in February. I think Martin and I just talked about one part of it today that we're hoping to have ready for February. So that's going to help to kind of fund things like that. And that's why we're asking for the fee to go in there. I mean, I own a construction company. I don't need any money. It's all just going in there to eventually also try to compensate Alex for his time, because the guy running the site, Alex, who's done a fantastic job of throwing everything together in his spare time, pro bono, we want to get around to paying him something here eventually also. So, you know, most people have no problem throwing a couple $1,000 at a lawyer. If we've done anything to help you, chuck $15 our way to help finance everything as often as you can, or more. We're not turning away any amount.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, definitely understand that. But I'm going to go ahead and just try and knock this out, get this out of the way, because I know it's been a long time you guys have been on. But I was Googling contract law and trust. I was just hoping if there was just a brief, like, you know, just a list of things that I can particularly do. You know I have to get my live birth record and all of that, but is there some particular things I can do to kind of, like, go about collecting taxes that are owed to me?
You better understand, here's the thing, you better know why you have a claim, and that's why I don't normally like to get into that, unless with people that have been studying this a very long time and are able to make all the arguments without being taught phrases like pushing, like a monkey pushing buttons, right? If you don't know why you have a claim and you cannot stand on that claim, then that means that you're guilty of making false claims. And do you have any idea what happens to false claimants in the courts?
Well, that's fraud.
That is fraud. You are going down. And that's a dangerous area to go to if you don't know what's going on. You better be prepared to make that argument. And I hate to say it, that takes a lot of study. There's concepts that people have to understand why they really have a claim in the first place. It's not kindergarten-like material. And you got to go through learning stages. I call them epiphanies, moments where you're sitting in a chair and you just one day just lean back and go, holy shit. And all of a sudden your brain just feels like it doubled in size because you just – something, a new concept just took hold that just made you go, holy shit. And then you realize that your brain's outside of that prison it's been in. And you'll have a couple of those, and then you start to be a higher-functioning individual. You literally are just a higher-functioning individual. You're more than you were before, and you're able to think of new concepts. And you won't need to learn from anybody anymore after that because the shit's just going to come to you like you're snapping your fingers, right? If you're not at that level, you're not ready to be making claims because they're going to destroy you. They're going to get you to push buttons until you push the wrong sequence, and then you're a false claimant and you're going down because you don't understand the concepts and have a greater understanding of what's going on. You don't grasp everything properly. So it's a dangerous area to go in from just being left alone to start making claims you have to substantiate. So that's just my warning for people on that. That's not something to be done lightly. You don't just run around saying you have a claim, right? Like back in the days when you had a gold claim and you showed up and somebody had made a false claim on your gold area, you got shot for that, right? They'd kill you deader than shit right on the spot for making a claim like that. So they'll do that in law today if you don't know what you're doing. They'll throw you in jail and they'll make you wish you'd never made a claim if you don't know what you're talking about.
Wow.
I think it's double damages if you make false claims because that is fraud.
Okay, absolutely.
So just a warning for people, be comfortable. Know why you have a claim. Don't ask me why you have a claim because if you can't answer that question yourself, that means you don't know. That means you haven't figured it out yet. That means you don't understand the concepts and you're not there yet. But you can definitely be left alone much earlier than that.
Okay. Warren, if you got anything else to say, I'd like to move on to the next couple of questions while we still have time left on this episode.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm done. Thank you so much. And, yeah, go ahead and move on to the next call. I don't want to hog up any more time.
Okay,
it's all
thanks,
good,
man.
Bud. All right, have a good day. Or I guess the day is kind of over. Good New Year.
Okay, Dean, if you don't mind, there's so many questions on this topic, but I was thinking maybe we should, instead of coming up with a new topic for next week, maybe do detoxing part two.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's keep going with this because this is a big one. I think I'd mentioned a long time ago that if I could simply concentrate on income.
Hello. I'm not sure if Dean got dropped off or if we're out of time. Can anybody hear me in the chat room? If you can, please. Okay, so we're still going. I guess something happened to Dean's. Interesting. Now I really don't know how to get him back. Yeah, I understand that he won't be able to call back in. I'm sure he can hear me talking though, Dean. If you hear me, your phone has cut out. We don't hear anything from you, so. I'm going to wait a few seconds. If you're not back, then I'm just going to end the episode, and I'll make an announcement right now, so it's in the recorded archive, that we're going to be having a detoxation part two with Dean Clifford next Monday. There are a lot of questions that were sent in on the email, as well as on the Global Fact fan page that I have not had the time to get to yet, and I guess we'll cover those next Monday. With that, I'm going to assume that Dean is not going to be able to come back in. If he does trial dial in, he won't be able to, so I'm just going to end this episode with our theme song. And I want to thank you all for listening in. We'll see you again next Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern for Detaxation Part 2 on the How To Dean Clifford episode. Thank you all for listening, and have a good night.
You're listening to Global Fact Radio.